Did you forget your kid's birthday was coming up? Don't give him a crab. Get him something he wants from Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who's the Harvey Levin of the Trail Mix scandal, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. We have a fantastic show for you guys here today. That's right. We have such a fun show. We're going to start off today and talk with Parvati Shallow, the winner of Survivor Micronesia, three-time Survivor. She's going to lend her insight to this season. I'm very excited to talk with her. And then my great friend Josh Wiggler is going to join us on the show to talk about your voicemails and get into the Survivor news and the social media. So Josh really, really knows his stuff when it comes to Survivor. So we've got a real, real jam-packed show. So excited to get into all of this with you guys. Of course, Wednesday night, we did our big Survivor Know-It-All show with Stephen Fishback. And Stephen and I debated, first we sort of ranted about I ranted a little bit about the quit. And then we talked about the whole Jeremy versus Josh thing. And I thought we had a very fun conversation about that. And then this morning, I had the chance to speak with Julie McGee and get her take on things. And I thought that there was definitely some interesting things that she had to say about why she quit and ultimately her reasoning about what she did and whether or not Missy was part of the reason why she ultimately quit. You could check that all out on robhasawebsite.com. Of course, we had our 1000th Rob Has a Podcast this week as well, which was very exciting, which was a thrill for me to go back and listen to all of the voicemails from you guys that you guys called in all of your favorite moments. So that was a lot of fun for me. But the other thing we announced on that show was that the Rob Has a Podcast app is finally here. And really, since like the second year of the podcast, people have been asking for an app. And I've been very lucky to find somebody to work on the app with us, one of the really, really great fans of Rob Has a Podcast, Eric Betzler, and I have been working very closely on trying to get this app set up, and it's finally here in the iTunes store, only for iOS devices right now. It's going to hopefully be ready for Android in the next couple of months. Hopefully, I don't have any firm date on that, but hopefully it won't be too much longer. But if you want to check out the Rob Has a Podcast app, where you could listen to Rob Has a Podcast, post-show recaps, reality TV wrap-ups, you can search the archives in a much easier way. We got some sound effects and some other things that are all in there in the Rob Has a Podcast app. You can either go into the app store and search for Rob Has a Podcast, or you can go to robhasawebsite.com/app. And of course, the app is free. And with all these people going back and listening to old podcasts, it is the perfect time for there to be a new CBS app to be able to watch all of the past seasons of Survivor, Big Brother, and The Amazing Race, and plus all of these other CBS shows from over the years. If you haven't seen this yet, it's the CBS All Access app. And through November 15th, they have a special offer that's going on where you can get a month free of the CBS All Access app. That's a really, really good deal. They give you a week free if you sign up, but this is for a month free. You could use the promo code 1MFREE. That's 1M as in Marquesas free, 1M free. And then you can get that CBS app. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/CBS app, or you can click on the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com. And last thing before we get to Parvati, the new Rob Has a Podcast t-shirt, the Bell shirt, is only going to be available for less than like 5 more days. I'm looking at the thing right now. It says 4 days and 22 hours. So really, the 11th is the last day for that. So if you still want to check that out, you still have about 4.5 days by the time you guys are listening to this to check that out. That's at robhasawebsite.com/bell shirt. All right, everybody. Very, very excited anytime we talk to this person about Survivor. One of the great, great Survivors, and also one of the great, great Rob Has a Podcast guests. Here she is, the queen of Survivor. Here she is, Parvati Shallow. Parvati, how are you?
Oh, hey, Rob.
Great to have you back.
You know, thanks to have me back.
Oh, you're very welcome.
That doesn't even make sense. That wasn't even grammatically correct. I'm a little burned out. I've been writing articles all day.
I know. I was on your Twitter. You got a million things going on. Now, of course, you're on the East Coast now. This is, you know, the universe is backwards that I'm on the West Coast. You're on the East Coast.
It's really inappropriate. It's very cold. It's very dark here. There's a lot of rain happening. Oh, no.
Yeah. Tell that to my mom, who's like, when are you moving back?
You're like, no, because I like the sunshine and I am a really happy human being.
Yes.
So that's why I like to live in LA.
Well, I don't like to go outside, but if I did ever go outside, I like to know.
Switch places with me then.
I like to know if I did go outside, it wouldn't be that cold.
Oh my God. This isn't the place for you then. Not at all.
Oh my God. How is the first fall back in New York?
Fall's beautiful here. The leaves are changing. They're putting all the lights up on the trees, making it Christmassy and festive. It's cute. I mean, that's not the problem. I just don't have the wardrobe.
Okay. You'll get
for
there.
New York City.
You'll get
and
there.
And I miss my yoga classes. I mean, it sounds like real first world problems here, but I'm having a real situation.
Okay. Well, Party, the last time we saw you, we saw you at the roast, at the live know-it-alls that we did back in New York, and John Fincher had a head injury. Is he doing okay now?
He's doing much better. Yes. Thanks for asking. Yeah. We had to ditch that know-it-alls night a little early to feed him because he was starting to feel faint.
Oh, so, no. And look at you now. You're like an honorary, Wine and Cheese Alliance person now.
What do you mean?
You were hanging out with all the New York survivors now. You're totally like...
Is that the name for
the
club?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, Eliza's the ringleader.
It's like
naturally.
You got traded to the other team.
Yeah, I like this team over here. We got Sophie, we got Stephen Fish back, Eliza, Courtney Yates makes appearances every now and then.
Yeah.
It's a pretty fun group.
I know, it's very fun. The West Coast Survivor, you know, it's very unorganized. Sure, you get the random mafia game here and there, but you know, it's tough. They're a much tighter group.
Yeah, the West Coast Survivor group is a bit more scattered. I mean, look at what's going on for LA Fest right now, Rob.
Oh, well, okay, let's
get together a team.
We'll talk about LA Fest real quick, because Parvati is, of course, one of the organizers for Team Survivor at LA Fest. And tell people what that is.
LA Fest is a big charity soccer tournament that Ethan Zahn, winner of Survivor Africa.
I remember him.
He's putting this on in order to raise money for Grassroots Soccer, which is his charity that raises awareness and educates people all over the world about AIDS and HIV prevention. And he's doing a really, really good thing in the world. So I like to help Ethan and support Grassroots Soccer whenever I can. And if people could just donate like $5 to $10, we could raise our goal, which is $1,000. So it's not that much. I mean, right now we're really not doing well. And the event is this weekend. So we're competing against The Bachelor. We're competing against The Amazing Race. And last time I played, we competed against the Jeff Probst Show, which was pretty much the only team that we beat. So we need help, man. We need people to donate some.
Okay. So
some funds.
LA Fest, it's a soccer tournament, and so we're going to have a team of Survivor soccer players taking on a team of other reality show soccer players?
Right.
Okay. And so the Survivors are going to be taking on, do we know who's going to be playing for Team Survivor this weekend?
Nate Gonzalez is the captain.
Okay.
From Cook Islands, and he is organizing the team. So for sure, I know Julie Berry is going to be there.
Okay. Danielle and officially, Julie Berry retains the title, the Julie that doesn't suck. Officially, she got it. She got it.
Oh, because we're going to dive right into that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about maybe one of the Julies that do suck, at least compared to the Julie that doesn't suck.
Right. Yeah, I see where you're going here.
Yeah.
Always making those connections, Rob.
I try to.
That's why they pay you the mediocre bucks.
Yeah. All right. Well, if people want to make a donation of some mediocre bucks to the Survivor team at LA Fest, I'll put a link in the show notes. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/LA Fest go right there and check out what Parvati is working on for the Team Survivor, raising money for grassroots soccer. And the survivors are taking on the Bachelor and the Amazing Race soccer team this weekend.
And if people want to go and cheer on the Survivor soccer team, they can go to, it's the StubHub Center, formerly known as the Home Depot Center in LA. I think it's in Carson.
Okay. So
check that out.
I'll make a donation as well. So I know that's not the only reason why you came on here to get my donation, though, right?
I appreciate that. That actually is the only reason I came on, so I can hang up.
I feel
now.
Bad
Thank
that
you.
I
my
can,
work is done.
I feel bad that I can't go and play. Also, not that you guys would need me to go play unless
no,
you want to lose.
No, we did need you.
No,
you
don't need me. You don't need me. You need me to
have your athletic prowess.
Yeah. Embarrass myself. All right. So let's talk about Survivor, and let's get into this now. I feel like I follow your blogs. You also of the many things you're doing right now. You also blog for the Hollywood Reporter, correct?
Correct.
Yes. And you've been a fan of this season.
I have.
Somewhat. I know you're a fan of Baylor.
You know,
at least.
I like Baylor. I like a few people. A few people are standouts this season. I wouldn't consider myself a fan of the season.
Okay. And you also were down in Nicaragua. You got to meet all of these people pregame also.
Yes, that I loved. That's really fun.
Okay, so you were down there, and now Jeff Probst has said some interesting comments today about Julie, about how there were some questions about her from even before the season started. Did you get a vibe when you met her pregame that maybe she could be somebody who didn't have what it takes?
Well, yeah. She was our final interview of pregame before the game started. We're at Ponderosa and we interviewed everyone. And towards the end of the day, we get Julie and John Rocker, and she was late because she had to go reapply her makeup.
Oh boy.
Right. So I was like, this is the first red flag. Then Sister shows up in like a really low cut, dress, and she wears platform wedges on day one of the show open.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is a really bad sign. Strike two. But also the content of the interview, when I sat there and talked to her and John Rocker, she was like, oh, I've never done anything like this before and blah, blah, blah. And like, my friends are very concerned. Like, what am I going to do without my makeup and my hair dryer and without a shower? And I was like, oh, that's what you're worried about. You're in for a real hard time.
Yeah, because there's to just put it in these terms, there's something to being Survivor hot. And part of that is you got to be low maintenance.
Agreed. Yes.
Yes.
I mean, she's a pretty girl. Like, she looked fine out there without makeup.
Oh, sure. Sure.
She actually looked beautiful, but the problem is she doesn't know that, or I don't know. She just doesn't, embrace her natural beauty.
Yeah.
And so I think she just sort of fell into this trap of needing to be taken care of. And then, when she wasn't getting enough attention from certain people, when the merge came, she was like isolated herself, and she basically sabotaged herself.
Yeah, but it's a confidence thing, more than just like to be like a, a vain sort of thing. It's sort of like the confidence to say, I'm going to go out there without makeup for 39 days, whatever I look like, it'll be fine. I'm going to look great. I'm going to be strong and confident, as opposed to, oh my God, what does my makeup look like? I got to check this. I got to check that.
Right.
A million times.
You're focused on the completely wrong thing, going out and playing Survivor. You really don't need to be concerned about what you look like. You need to be concerned about playing the game in order to win.
Yeah.
Because if you have your mind preoccupied on what do I look like right now, you're not present, and there's no way you're going to actually be able to strategize and make it to the end of the game ever.
Yeah. Not in the moment. Yeah.
Not in the moment. You have to be 100% present at all times throughout that game in order to succeed.
Well, see, this is why we get the good stuff from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I tried to do a little research here today, and I wanted to go back to Survivor fans versus favorites. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You're on the tribe with Kathy Sleckman, who was one of the people that quit, correct?
Yeah, sweet old Kathy.
You're there with Kathy. And, you know, she was somebody, they say, like, oh, how come you don't ever cast people that are fans of the show? You cast all these recruits and they quit. Now, there's somebody, not a recruit, big fan of the show, continues to be a big fan of the show, still to this day, and somebody who just didn't want to be out there anymore. Could you take us through what you're thinking when you're out there with somebody who wants to quit?
It's really hard. That's the only experience that I've ever had with someone who wanted to quit. I can't think of anyone else.
No, I think you check out. We went through the research here on this one.
Yeah, okay. So it was just Kathy. And I remember Kathy was having some problems being emotionally stable out there. So, like, she was having a real nervous breakdown. Like, she was not psychologically okay to continue to play the game. So with her, it was like a different story. It wasn't like, oh, I think I'm on the outside, nobody likes me, and I'm feeling insecure, or I feel like I don't belong here. And, or maybe that was part of it, because that was sort of what built up to her story, but that was before I joined her team.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I joined her team, I guess all of that damage had already been done, where she was kind of on the outside with Chet. That's what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that's what it is. When you're out there, it's really hard when you feel like you're at your wit's end, you're uncomfortable, you're dehydrated, you're starving, there's no one you can trust, and people are not being nice to you. You don't feel included. And that's one of our deepest human needs, is to feel connected and like we belong, like we're part of something, part of the group. And when you don't feel that way, it's just like, I'm so miserable that, mm-hmm. you know, nobody likes me, and how can I get out of this? And then some people can't get their mind around, oh, I can just play the game or vote someone out or just strategize. Some people just can't get out of that sort of cycle of nobody likes me, I don't belong here, I should just leave. That's like it's like a coping mechanism or a strategy that people use when they're uncomfortable to just take off, you know. But it's tough being in the game with someone who wants to quit, because of course you're playing with a certain amount of numbers, and that person's really going to throw off whatever strategy or alliances that you've made. Like with Julie.
Do you feel like there were some of the other players that were trying to push her out of the game? Like, do you feel like the other players can smell the blood in the water when it's somebody is like teetering on the edge of quitting?
Oh yeah. And I think with this group of people, especially like, Alec's brother.
No, Alec is the brother.
Alec. Okay. He's a bit immature and he wants to be cool. And so one way of doing that, or like making yourself feel cool or look cooler, is by putting other people down. You know, when you're young and in like high school or something, you do that kind of stuff. Or
sure.
People do that kind of stuff. So now he's like, smells weakness or sees Julie's vulnerability, and then just kind of goes with that, because the group mentality is, oh yeah, none of us like Julie. So he's the one who thinks like, oh, I'll just say it and then I'll be the cool guy, which is kind of gross, but it's also like, that's the way it goes, I think, with these groups. And when you're playing Survivor, sometimes it brings out the worst in people. It brings out their base nature, where, you know, you'll just like start using these sort of high school mentality or these high school power trips. And that's what I'm seeing from the people in this season. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think you make a lot of good points. You're locked in tonight.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. Since you did your research, I wanted to be on point.
Good. You certainly are. And I'm really fired up to be talking to you about this, because I would love to hear what your experience was with the Christie brothers when you talked to them pregame, because I could only, I wish that.
I have such a story.
Good. Tell me. I would expect nothing less. Tell me about your interaction with the Christie brothers.
Okay. So Drew's the older brother.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm sitting there interviewing both of them, and I ask Drew a question, and he answers it in this very long-winded sort of I'm the man kind of way. And then I ask his younger brother, Alec, a question. Alec starts to answer the question, and then 2 seconds in, he's maybe gotten 4 words out of his mouth. Drew jumps in and he's like, blah, 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 but let's talk about me, you know? And he just completely takes over whenever Alec tries to answer a question. So I would just keep looking at Alec and asking him. I asked Alec every single question for that interview, but I think Drew answered every question. It was so strange. By the time it was over, I kind of just wrapped it up because I was like, this is going nowhere and I'm never going to get any like really good juice out of Alec while Drew is here because he just takes over.
Yeah.
So the interview's over, right? They've walked away and then I was going up to like get a water or something at Ponderosa. And Drew sees me walking up and he turns around and he starts walking towards me and he goes, oh, hey, so after I win, you have to give me your phone number.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, I looked around, checked behind me, and I was like, wait, oh, he's talking to me? I was so confused.
Yeah, because he's a badass. He's basically a badass.
Well, he's just clueless, right?
Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, we saw, like, he dug a real big hole for himself. I heard some other stories from some producers on location about what he did to piss the producers off. So I think he just, like, really brought some trouble down upon himself.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like we definitely got a good picture, just in that one episode, of who Drew is from Survivor.
Yeah. I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Okay. Really, really good stuff.
Nothing else that I would add to that.
I love hearing these stories from like the, you know, the one-on-one interactions and stuff that was like the stuff that's like not from what we're seeing on television, but the stuff that's really like not through editing, just like the one-on-one meetups. Okay, why did you fall in love with Baylor so much? Was it because of what you've seen on the show or because of what you've seen from her when you met her?
I really liked Baylor when I met her. I just interviewed her and her mom, and Baylor came across as someone who was mature beyond her years, but also had a really endearing spirit. So like kind of a innocence about her, but then also a savviness, which I like. She reminded me of Sierra in that way. And then watching her play, I'm really impressed. I don't think she's getting very much credit in the edit, but I can tell just watching the way that the voting is shaking down that Baylor, I think, has been running the show since the beginning on her tribe.
Running the show?
I mean, I would say that. Who else do you think is in charge of it?
Well, I feel like early
certainly
on,
not the power couple, John and Jacqueline.
The hottest couple, period.
But see, listen, I mean, even when Baylor says that, like, she knows how to kiss ass. She knows how to say the exact right thing. And who's Dale said it first, and then Baylor one-upped Dale. Dale's like, oh, the hottest couple and whatever on Survivor. And she's like, the hottest couple, period. Boom, Dale voted out. You know?
That's why? That's what happened? Oh, my God. Well, in the first vote, you know, her and Josh definitely swung that thing and got Natalie voted out. So that's fair to say. Yeah. But then in the second vote, she was going to potentially go home. And if it wasn't for Josh realizing that John Rocker was telling Val and Jacqueline to what to do with their votes, or that they, you know, to play her idol, then you know, if it wasn't for Josh switching up his vote, then, you know, she definitely wasn't in control there.
Okay, I'll give you that. I will agree with you. I think that Baylor and Josh, though, were the original power couple on that.
Yes.
Tribe. So Josh is incredibly strategic. We've seen that.
Yes. Yes.
And Baylor was under Josh's protection.
Yes. So they were a pair. But now we get to this point at the merge where Josh is coming back to Baylor and saying, like, hey, remember all the stuff that we were doing back then? And Baylor isn't allowed to be in an alliance with Josh. Her mom says
no. I
know,
right? So this is what's going to get Baylor in trouble. She still doesn't fully trust herself. She's not 100% confident that she knows best. And so, like, she's listening to her mom, which kind of sucks because her mom has shown that she can make some poor judgment calls in the past.
What do you mean?
Right?
What do you mean?
I mean, just based on what she's shared as far as her previous marriages. So, I mean, it's not like Survivor is like a marriage, but it is in a way you have to be able to judge people and know who you're working with. And I think Baylor is better at that than her mom is. So I would like to see Baylor flip the tables like Ciara did with her mom and, you know, not necessarily vote Missy out, but at least like take the lead and step up and trust herself.
What was your read on meeting Missy in person? Because she's somebody that it's been, you know, we've had a lot of fun talking about Missy this season. And, you know, there's a lot of things that were, you know, easy things to make jokes about. But it seems like she is playing a very good game, or at least a good game, if not very good.
You're going to take the very out.
I'm going to take the very. It's good. You know, she's made mistakes, but at least she's playing hard. And we like that. So. Yeah. What do you think about Missy from the interaction that you had with her?
Missy and Baylor were my first interview, and they hadn't done any other interviews, so they weren't as open as some of the rest of my interviews that day. But I liked them. I got a good feeling from both of them as far as Missy is a protector. Like, she will fight tooth and nail to take care of her daughter. If anyone threatens her daughter, Missy is going to cut their throats, right? Mm-hmm. I think that she would sacrifice herself for Baylor if push came to shove. But I don't know. I think that Missy could get herself into trouble by listening, by also doing the same thing that what Baylor's doing right now, like by Baylor's sort of giving up her power to her mom. I think that Missy could end up giving up her power to Jeremy at some point in the game and let Jeremy make a decision for Missy that wouldn't be in her best interest. I could just see something like that happening for her.
I want to talk about Jeremy in regards to Jeremy versus Josh, because that is looking like how this is going to line up. And I know
it's a real showdown.
It's a real showdown. And I almost feel like maybe not since Boston Rob and Russell have we had such a, you know, a showdown looming between two people that are now in the same group. Is that a fair comparison? You were somebody who was there with both of those guys.
No,
no,
you can't compare anyone to Boston Rob or Russell. No way.
No. What about in terms of a showdown?
I like what you're trying to do. You're trying to really liven up this season, because the season, I gotta be honest, has left much to be desired as far as strategy. So that's really nice of you.
Okay.
But I like where the showdown is going. I just, there's just not that much substance behind the rivalry. So we don't know why either one of them are really after each other. I mean, it looks like Jeremy has sort of rallied some troops behind him, and Josh has rallied some troops behind him, and they're both threatened by each other because they're both powerful and people are listening to them. They're leaders and strategic, but we just haven't seen very much strategizing going on this season. Have you seen something that I'm missing?
Well, I felt like we had a lot of strategizing last night, and I really liked that. And I really enjoyed the episode outside of the quitting, because we didn't have a Redemption Island. Exile Island. We didn't have a duel. We didn't have a tribal council.
And I would have liked one more challenge, though.
Well, I would have liked all the strategizing. So no, I'm fine with no more challenges. I'm fine with that.
Last night's episode.
Yeah. But I thought it was really good, because we really got to see all of the wheels turning for Jeremy and for Josh, and to see all the different people that they're talking to and get to see all those conversations. I like that stuff. And so I thought that was really fun last night, getting to see how, you know, who has who, and then ultimately have it come down to John and Jacqueline are the people that are going to be making the decision, which is scary.
It's so scary, because John is such a dodo.
All right, what about John and Jacqueline, the hottest couple period? What was your take on those two?
Oh my God, they were like, they reminded me of a less intelligent version of Candace and John Cody.
Okay, so poor man's Candace and, and Dr. John.
Yeah, but they were so funny. You know who John reminds me of is the guy from Wedding Crashers, the one who's like the football player, Bradley Cooper's character.
Okay.
He's like, he just has this big, huge kind of plastic grin on his face where he's like the typical 80s movie kind of a hunk, like kind of doofusy hunk.
Yeah.
But there's really not much going on behind, you know.
And you're talking John Mish, not John Cody, right?
Yeah. Okay. John, the one who's on this season.
Got it.
Right now.
Yeah.
And Jacqueline. And I mean, I would ask them questions and he would look at me for a minute before he would actually answer the question. So I wasn't sure if he was taking that time to process the question and think of an answer, or if he just had blanked out for a minute.
Yeah.
was looking at a bird behind me or something.
You know what I'm interested to know, because I feel like it's just such a clear, like, do they know the game or not? Was there anybody that you sat down and talked to that didn't know that you were a previous player and one of the, you know, Mount Rushmore of Survivor players?
This season, a lot of them.
Wow.
Actually. Yeah. A lot of them, they just walked up. Maybe if they did know that I had played before, they didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
The people that said something were Jeremy and Val.
Okay.
They're huge fans of the show and, they've applied multiple times, and Josh and Reed. They're also super fans of the show. But for the rest of them, it was just kind of like, okay, it's all about me. Let's talk about what I'm going to do here. There are huge, huge egos this season that I haven't seen the likes of since Heroes and Villains.
Really? Why? Who are the biggest egos besides the Christies?
Besides the Christies? I would say John and Jacqueline in a different way.
Okay. In what way?
In a way that they are performers, you know, they play to the camera, they're playing to look good, they're polished, and they're very like, okay, you know, I want to tell you about me and how this is going to be all about me.
Hmm. Okay.
Right?
So it's sort of like the pageant stuff. Is that what it is? Like we're like, Mr. and Mrs. Perfect, and we're like showing off like how perfect we are?
I guess. I mean, not that they're unlikable by any means. I don't want people to get that impression that I'm saying that. They are likable. And when I met them, I liked them. It's also one of those tricky things where if you see someone who's concerned with image, like Julie and John Rocker, then it's going to mess them up in the game. But I think actually that John and Jacqueline have they've surprised me, because I thought that they would be more about themselves and like, this is about me and I'm going to make myself look good. And they really haven't been doing that. They've kind of been more real than I thought that they would be.
Did you have a prediction for the winner before the game when you met these people?
Who did I think would win? Before I met them all?
Yeah, well, met them all, but before the season started.
Yeah, I thought that Val would do really well.
Yeah, I did
because
too.
She was so savvy, Rob. She was watching everyone. She knew everyone's name. She knew like their last names. She knew their occupations. This is before they could even talk to each other at Ponderosa. She knew all of this information. She's like, oh, this guy is this, and I can play this way, and this is the person I want to play with. And I was like, oh man, this girl's head is in the game. But I think her problem was she was playing too hard, too fast with that group of people.
Yeah. Now, she had the whole Exile Island thing that happened to her also, where it was in the first few days that she went to Exile Island. And I think that was a tough blow to overcome. And then she ends up voting the wrong way on the first vote.
Oh, and you know what's crazy? As I talked to Jeff about this, I was like, why didn't Jeremy just send himself to Exile Island when Val had to go? And Jeff was like, I was going to tell them that they could do that, but nobody asked. And he picked someone before I could even tell him.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was like, oh man, because that probably would have been what I would have done. I would have just been like, can I go? I would just go too.
You would volunteer to go to Exile Island.
Yeah. If my loved one, if I beat my loved one in a challenge, like say I was playing with my dad and I beat him in a challenge and then he had to go to Exile, I would be like, I want to go too.
Well, let's talk about your experience with Exile Island. So they have Exile Island in your first two seasons, correct?
Yeah, I only went in my second season.
Okay. And so did you like seeing Exile Island come back as somebody who's been there?
I liked Exile Island personally because it gave me a little vacation, a break from the game, which is not something that you get. But I think as a fan of the show, I don't really like Exile Island that much.
Yeah. Do you like that two people get to go this season?
Yeah, I do. And I like that it's from different tribes. And I like that that's a loved one's, that it's a loved one's season that they're doing that with. So like how we saw Natalie send herself so that she could form a relationship with Baylor. I like that they have the opportunity to do that kind of stuff because it adds another element of strategy to the game.
Yeah. And now you famously at one point in Heroes versus Villains actually had two idols. Val came back from Exile Island this season and told people she had two idols.
Oh, poor form. I wrote about that in one of my recap. It was probably one of the worst moves that anyone has ever made. I mean, it's the, like when you lie in Survivor or whenever you have to lie, just keep it simple, right? Like, don't elaborate. Don't make it too far-fetched because then you are probably going to get caught.
Because some people would say the opposite.
Unwell. Yeah.
Some people would say tell a big lie because people will believe a big lie.
Like, hey, I found two idols and then we're going to tribal council and everyone wants to vote me out and I don't even have an idol. So it's good to tell you that I do.
All right.
Because, well, if you have an idol, if you say you have an idol, there's an instant target on your back, right?
Yes.
And not only that, but she'd also been to Exile Island where she missed out on the opportunity of forming alliances right away. So if I were in Val's position, I would come back, I would keep my mouth shut, and I would listen to hear what's going on. Who's forming alliances with who? Where can I get in? Is there a crack? Is there some weakness or vulnerability to be preyed upon? But you don't go out and start yammering on about, I have a bunch of idols, and guess what? I'm in charge here, when you don't even know what's happening.
Okay, well, here's something interesting that we found in our research for this interview. Okay, so in Survivor Fans versus Favorites, when you went to Exile Island, I found an interview where you said you actually found the idol and yeah. left it there because you didn't want to create any problems back at camp. Which is really the opposite of Val going to Exile Island and finding zero idols and telling everybody that she found two. Yeah. Now, is that true? Is that you did that? You found the idol and you left it at Exile Island?
Yeah, that's true. But my mind is still boggled that she came back and said that she had two idols.
No.
I still don't get it. And honestly, I wish I could ask her that question. I really want to know why.
Well, I want to talk about when you found an idol and didn't take it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I was in a really solid spot in my alliance at the time. I was a leader of the tribe at that point. I had Sari, I had Amanda, and I had Natalie all with me. And then there was, what's his name? Eric. And I think that was at that point. Yeah. So I came back and I was like, if I bring this idol back, who else was Eric there at the time? I don't remember. It was definitely the three girls. So I knew if I brought this idol back, Natalie knew that she was on my side, but she would have wanted, but she knew she was at the bottom and she would have wanted me to give her the idol in order to save her. And I would have been in a really sticky spot because had I taken that idol back and not given it to her when she needed it, then I would have lost her vote for sure at the end. So I was thinking, don't bring this back because all it's going to do is cause a problem and potentially lose a jury vote at the end.
Yeah. Interesting. That's good stuff. Let me ask you about one more thing before we get into some questions from the listeners of the podcast. Can you talk about the approach that, you know, Jeremy and Josh both took last night in trying to recruit people over to their side? Did you like the way that they were campaigning for people to come with them?
Yeah, I think it's important to be proactive. And I like that Josh just kind of sat down next to people and was like, boom, here's my idea. Here's what's up. He knew, like, it was like 1, 2, 3. This is what I want. This is what's in it for you. And this is how it's going to advance your game. And then I'm just going to leave you to it.
See, I feel like he didn't do a great job with the what's in it for you.
That's awesome, right? And Jeremy's approach is a little bit different. Jeremy kind of, he wants people to feel like they're taken care of by him.
So he wants to be more of the leader, like the Papa Bear that everyone comes to for safety and for advice, and feels like really connected. Like, you're my girl. Like what he said to Missy, you know, he's like, you're with me. I'm with you. I'm your man. And that is something that really speaks to Missy. Like, she wants that security. She wants that safety, and she wants it from a male figure. And he's a lone wolf.
She can't seem to get it.
Competition. It's like, boom. He knows, Jeremy knows what a person needs, and he can hone in on that. And then he can give that to them without saying, like, strategically, this is what I'm offering you, and this is where we're going together. He just kind of is more like using an emotional plea, and I like that too.
Yeah, I really like Jeremy.
I like them. I like both of their strategies. I think they're using their strengths, and they're different, which is cool.
Yeah, I think that's really the salvation for this season for me. I feel like it's this rivalry between these two guys. And you poo-pooed that could it turn into a Rob versus Russell rivalry. Now, I'm not saying we're going to ever get a Jeremy versus Josh season.
I'm going to disappoint you right now, because it will not be a Rob-Russell dynasty. Is that what you called it?
I know. No, I said I don't think we're going to green light a Jeremy versus Josh season at any point. But I'm hoping that this is like a prolonged, like, I hope other people keep like stepping up and doing stupid things, and we could watch these two guys really go after each other for a couple of weeks.
I think that would be great. I think the problem is, though, Josh is the one who's in a really, Josh is in a dangerous spot, but Jeremy's not so much.
Because I feel like Jeremy would have gone home last night.
Oh, you think? If Julie wouldn't have quit?
If John and Jacqueline switched over to Josh like they said they were going to.
That's true. Yeah, you got me. You got me there.
Can you also just touch on where Missy was talking with Julie, just to talk about like the approach that different people take? Because when I spoke with Julie this morning, I asked her if the approach Missy took was good. And she said that Missy made her want to quit the game more.
Yeah, I wrote about this again in my recap. Yeah. The way that Missy talked to Julie was like, I need you to stay here because you as a number are important to advance my game. It was a very selfish way to sort of try to convince someone to do something. And there was no heart in it. There was no like, Julie, I like you. I want you to stay. You have all of these qualities. Like, give her a pep talk, you know, like, you need to prove to your friends and your family that like, you're tough and you can stick it out. And I believe in you, and you're vulnerable right now. And I've been there too. And I'm feeling the same things that you're feeling, but you can do this. You've got this. Instead, Missy's like, we just last for one more night, just one more night. It's like, yeah, what, one more night and then you're going to vote me out? Or like one more night and then what, you know? It's just what, there was no heart.
Yeah. It's like the right move is almost like, do you realize like what a good position you're in right now? Like there's a really good shot. You're going to win this game. And not so much like, okay, well, just hang in there for one. We know you're not going to win. So like, just hang in there for like one more
right?
night.
Yeah. It's like, well, okay, Julie, you know, I know you want to quit, and I totally get it. And you can quit tomorrow, but tonight, just don't quit tonight.
Yeah. Just don't screw me over tonight. Can you just not screw me over tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that make you want to hang out? I don't think so.
With Missy, like, hey, just one more night.
Too, Julie comes to Missy as like a girl to girl kind of. Like, hey, girlfriend, I'm feeling really low right now. I need you to make me feel better. And Missy does the exact opposite. It's so hard to watch.
All right. Let's get into some questions here from the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast. Lots of questions here for you, Parv. We've touched on some of this stuff, but some really great questions for people. Can I start off with, how about this one from Reed Strand, who wants to know, what did the Endurance Queen think of this week's first individual immunity challenge at the Merge? Who impressed you and who didn't? Do you embrace the title of the Endurance Queen?
I love that.
Nobody has ever called me the Endurance King, Parvati.
I thought you were going to say Queen.
No, or Queen. Neither one. It's never happened before.
Rob, you can be the Endurance Princess.
I don't want to be the endurance princess.
Accept your title, Rob.
I don't want it.
Yeah, I love that name. Those are my favorite challenges to compete in.
Yes. All right. So, and who impressed you last night? Did Keith impress you with keeping his balls steady?
Well, when you put it that way, absolutely.
Yes.
Any man that can keep his balls steady, that's an impressive feat.
That's very, very
especially
impressive.
A father-son duo with
yes.
steady balls.
Both father and son are keep their balls very steady.
Yeah, I love Keith. We haven't talked about him at all. He's one of my very favorite people that's playing this game.
Why?
Because he's so naive. He doesn't really understand what the game is at all, but he's just so charming. I love his accent. I love that he found the idol and it jumped out at him and it almost bit him. And he was like so scared of it. And that was adorable. And also I really like his son, Wes. And I like the dynamic that they have. I like that Keith cries all the time. And he's like supposedly this tough kind of like, I don't know, rednecky guy, but he's also really sensitive and okay expressing emotion. I love that.
Okay. And you like those guys when you met them also?
Yeah, they were one of my favorites.
Why? Do you have any story or anything?
Just once they start talking, it's really hard not to love them. They have a fantastic accent. And when I would ask them questions, they're just really grounded, really down to earth. But also they would poke fun at each other, and they're super competitive with one another, but it's in a loving way. Like you saw Keith and Wes at the end of that immunity challenge, and then Keith ends up beating his son, and Wes is smiling so hard. He's so proud of his dad. Like, that's cool. I love that.
Yeah. It's nice. Nice father and son moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what's nice about Blood versus Water. Sometimes you get these like really authentic, sweet moments.
Yes. Like Aris and Vetus.
Are you talking about when Aris ended up beating Vetus and he started crying about it?
Yeah, they had nice moments.
Yeah, okay.
Here's a question from Reese Madgwick wants to know, what are your thoughts on the gender imbalance this season? Okay, here's what I want to know from you. When you were out there, did they have the other two women that were supposed to be in this season? Were they there when you were there?
No.
They were already gone.
Before I got there. Yeah.
Okay. And so you didn't get to see them. And so now we went into this season with there being 10 men and 8 women. And now we're down to only 4 women in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And 7 guys, 7 bros are left.
Yeah. And they are bros, right?
Yes. And so is this a big disadvantage for the women?
I don't think it really is a big disadvantage for the women. I think some of the guys that are left in the game could be easily manipulated by some of the women out there. The women are pretty smart. Natalie has shown that she's quite savvy. Baylor's intelligent and on it and clear.
Yeah. Do you like the twinnies, by the way?
I do. Yeah, I do like them. They're funny. They were cracking me up down there. Like, they were the funniest people. We had to bleep out every other word out of their mouth.
Yeah, they're filthy.
So I don't know how Natalie has been like actually doing interviews without them having to bleep out everything that she says.
Yeah.
What else
have
as a podcast?
Oh, is that
the Finchler just walked in the door.
Is that John Fincher in the background?
Is this being recorded?
Yes. Yes.
It is.
All right. Well, I'm glad John Fincher is there because I have a question from Trevor Chong, who wants to know the question, who is the biggest poser on this season?
Oh, man, that's Parvati, that one. She knows a thing or two about posers.
Yes.
No, it's your question. John hasn't even watched one episode.
Rob, I haven't watched one episode. I'm sorry.
Well, we just did our 1,000th episode of Rob as a Podcast this week, and we played all of the greatest moments, including the time John Fincher came over, and we talked about when Jeff Probst said John Fincher is a poser.
Wow. I mean, all joking and BS aside, congratulations. 1,000 podcasts is a huge accomplishment.
Oh, thank
you. Well, for you guys.
Yeah, it's a kind of nerdy thing to say that you've recorded 1,000
podcasts.
You are
the endurance prince of podcasting.
The officially most nerdiest title of all time.
Is that the hashtag?
Endurance prince of podcasting. That's very long.
It's a really long one, yeah.
Yes. Well, who is, are there any posers this season, John?
You know, the only guys I know are the New York guys.
Josh and Reed. Now they're not posers though, right?
What?
They're not posers though, right?
No, not at all. Yeah, they're the only ones I know, literally. That's it. That's all I got. I'm their biggest fan.
John Fincher is a poser.
Yes. Yes. We still have the clip.
The line.
Now I know why you weren't present for the last 35 seconds of the conversation. You were frantically and furiously looking up that sound.
No,
button.
Rob has everything always available.
I know.
No, we have to go in the archives for some stuff.
How often is the missus on the podcast these days? Like in the olden days, she was always there, and I thought she was a great part of the show and a major component. And now Nicole maybe isn't, you know.
Yeah, if she has time for me.
But she is drinking martinis again.
Yeah, yes, she's back on to the martini bandwagon. Yeah, she was with us for the 1,000th episode. She came back for that one.
Oh, good. That's good.
Well, she's needed.
Yes. Okay, let's take some more questions here. Trisha May Riosa says, out of all the contestants who say they play the game like Parvati in their pregame bio, who do you think actually comes closest to how you play the game? Is there anybody from this season that you would say that? Because, of course, every season we talk about these bios, and then they all say, oh, I'm going to be like Parvati. And then seldom have we seen anybody who actually lives up to that.
Mm. That's a hard one for this season. I don't know. I mean, I really haven't seen enough out of people yet. Maybe I'll be able to answer that question as we get a little further in the game.
Yes. Okay. Let's see one question. This is from Matt Holtzclaw, and I wish I had the clip for this, but I don't. Matt Holtzclaw says, Rob was famously dubbed Dude Parvati by Russell Hance. Would Parvati be willing to dub a survivor as a chick Russell? Now, Parvati, I interviewed Russell Hance this summer. And he said that my social game was very good on the podcast. He said, I'm like a dude Parvati. And then there was some other parts that's not fit for mixed company. And so would you like to call anybody a chick Russell?
A chick Russell?
Yes.
God, these are good questions. Like, where do people even come up with this? Okay, I am going to go out on a limb here, and I am going to say Eliza Orleans is a chick Russell.
Oh, she's a chick
so
Russell.
So mad at me for that.
Oh, my God.
So
Parvati, Edward Morris wants to know, what man and woman have your support for Mr.
The only reason, let me just...
Go for it.
Let me just clarify why I'm choosing Eliza. The only reason I'm choosing Eliza is because she is tenacious. And Russell would never say die. Like, even if his back was against the wall and he was out for sure, he would never go down without a fight. And Eliza has that similar sort of bulldog tenacity.
And we're going to get into Eliza's tweets later in the show. So I think you might be right on that one.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Edward Morris wants to know, what man and woman have your support for Mr. and Miss Survivor 2015?
Woo! Mr. and Miss Survivor 2015.
Because we've met all the candidates now.
Are we talking about from this season in particular?
From this season or last season?
Okay, I'm going to give it to Baylor.
Baylor for Miss Survivor. Wow.
Baylor for Miss Survivor. She's just so cute. And Mr. Survivor, I'm going to give it to... Should I give it to Drew? He's so handsome and charming.
And he's kind of a badass.
He's got the hair.
So basically, I'm a badass.
Yeah.
You're so ready with that stuff. I'm really impressed.
We're ready.
But what I said, he has the hair, right? And that's kind of like a non-negotiable for Mr. Survivor.
Yeah. The reigning Mr. Survivor has good hair.
Can we give it to a couple? Can it be Josh and Reed?
Josh doesn't want to be one of the girls that
and they're very masculine.
Yes, so. Naughty already got in trouble with that this season. So right. Don't say he's so like a girl.
It could be Mr. and Mr. Survivor.
It could get a little catty if they're both vying for Mr. Survivor.
True. Unless they could both share the crown. But, you know, they both are Broadway performers, so they have to audition against each other sometimes for roles.
And no, none of this co-Mr. Survivor, this Aris and Vetus stuff.
Oh, yeah, that didn't work out.
Yeah, we're not doing that again.
I'm fired up, though, to find out who it's going to be this year.
It's going to be very exciting. It's going to be very, very exciting.
Andrea is going to have to pass her crown down.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin McLean wants to know, whose strategy best translates to the bedroom? Have you thought about this?
I feel like I've had this question before.
Yes. Someone you're an expert.
Has asked me this and it was awkward then and it's awkward now. if I have to answer this one, I'm going to give it to Jeremy because he really knows how to sweet talk the lady.
Whoa. I'm going to give it to John and Jacqueline because they're the swingers right now.
Oh, that's good. You're so clever.
All right. Here's a question. This is from Kaz Kozdrowski wants to know, who had a worse performance, Amanda Kimmel with the Micronesia jury or John Fincher at the Rob Sesternino roast?
Oh, fun. Did you hear that? You can
hammer me, baby. He said, don't answer that?
Yeah. Yes, he's very sensitive. People don't know this about John Fincher because he comes across as such a strong, confident man.
Yes.
But he has a soft interior.
Let me tell you something, Rob. She performed very well at that final in Micronesia. It's just that Parvati was unbeatable then.
So you're so coming good. On to defend Amanda Kimmel.
I am. Yeah, I am.
Not to defend your performance at the roast.
I wish she and I had a stronger relationship, but we don't.
See how good his heart is? He's like a white knight.
He's like, hey, do not say anything about Amanda Kimmel's performance on the jury.
Don't you dare.
Maybe that's what makes me vulnerable. Rob hey, man. Has a podcast roast.
She got votes. It's more than Russell got. Whose performance was worse, Amanda Kimmel in Micronesia or Russell Hantz back to back?
Well, Amanda went back to back also in the back to back final trial.
Yeah, but she got votes. Did Russell?
I think he got John Fincher's vote, right?
That's correct.
John Fincher, who is better in the final tribal council, Amanda or Russell?
I thought you were going to say who's better in the bedroom.
Who's better in the bedroom, Amanda or Russell?
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Next question.
All right. And we won't ask who's better at the roast, Amanda Kimmel or Russell.
Wait, are they going to be on a roast?
Maybe in the next roast. The next roast will have Amanda Kimmel and Russell at the Parvati roast. Yeah.
You shouldn't invite them. Oh, God. I can't do another one of those roasts. I'm still processing. I still have to go to my therapist to process from that.
No, I felt like you got beat up that night. I felt very bad because I felt like I didn't get beat up that bad. And I felt like people were taking cheap shots at you.
Well, you know, it's always easy to call someone a skeeze, isn't it?
Yeah, it's easy. And I feel like that people took cheap shots at you because they know I have a microphone and they didn't want to piss me off because I'm going to be podcasting 100 hours every single week for the next 30 years.
That's true. You can ruin them for the rest of their lives.
No, because when you get on my bad side, it's like death by 1,000 paper cuts. I'm just going to keep keep going. But they feel like, oh, well, Parvati's not going to hit me back.
Well, I would, but it would just be one swift blow and they're dead, so they don't even feel it.
Okay. This is a question from somebody on Twitter named Jif Probst wants to know, does Parv support eating all the rice? We talked about this a lot. What seasons did you play on when they had rice?
Never.
You never got any rice?
No.
Ever?
No, I was the real survivor.
Not one bowl of rice in 114 days of Survivor?
I didn't even get so much as a grain of rice.
Now, this isn't like one of those, hey, when I was on Survivor, we had to walk the tribal council uphill both ways stories.
In the snow.
In the snow.
No, I seriously never got rice. All of my seasons had coconuts, though. And I really haven't seen any of these people have eating any coconuts. So I think that might be the problem.
That's the problem. So do you endorse eating all the food if you were on a season with rice, or would you say would you try to ration it?
Yeah, man. I mean, we've seen that how it's affected their performance. They've done really well by eating all the rice. They're winners. So I would say, yeah, keep doing that. But then I would say, okay, stop when you're about to trade your tarp for another bag of rice. That's a really bad idea.
And you're going to merge the next day.
Yeah, that's probably the worst plan of all time.
Okay. Let's see. Let's get another question. And C.D. Carter wants to know, Parvati, what do you like best, L.A. or New York? Now you have a big decision to make.
Oh, gosh. Asking me that question right now when it's cold and rainy outside, I'm going to say L.A. But there are some nice things about New York. Restaurants stay open a little later.
Yeah.
Eliza Orleans is at my beck and call.
You're still working on that all women alliance.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't let it go. No, I mean, really, I'm kind of an equal opportunist at this point. Josh and Reed are two of my very favorites in the city.
Okay. So what was your take on them when you met them in Nicaragua?
They were so fun. Everyone else was very serious and very like, this is who I am and this is what I bring to the table and this is how I'm going to play the game. And Josh and Reed just wanted to like laugh and tell stories and sing songs for me and do twirls and things like that. So it was really fun to interview them.
Okay. Andy Pfeiffer wants to know, do you think the game has become easier, or do you think it seems that way because of the casting? So now you've played in the middle ages of Survivor. Now we're going to talk about now no,
as
up,
opposed to you playing in the dark.
I played
ages.
Because now we're getting to a point where Survivor 30 is next season. We're going to have a very nice delineation of 1 through 10, 11 wow. through 20, and then 21 through 30. And all your seasons
organized.
Are in the are in the middle third. You played in what? 13, 16, and 20. That's all in the middle third.
That's true.
So do you think that in the third third?
You've been right a lot tonight. I just want to give you some credit.
Well, I drank a lot of coffee.
You've clearly done your research.
I drank a lot of coffee today. So as somebody
who... Matcha is the new coffee, you know.
What is it?
Matcha.
Matcha?
Green tea from Japan.
Never even heard of this.
Get with it. It's a food trend coming your way in 2015.
Should we look for a report on this on CBS.com?
You should. I wrote it yesterday.
So do you feel like, as somebody who played in the middle third, in the third third, has the third third gotten easier post Heroes versus Villains?
It has to do with the caliber of player. So it's not that the game has gotten any easier. It's that the people that are playing the game just might not be as good at playing it as, you know, we were.
So do you feel like there's an issue with like recruits versus people who are applying to be on the show?
Yeah, yes and no. I would say it just really depends on the personality. Like you brought up Kathy Sleckman from season 16. She wasn't a great player, but she was a super fan of the show. Eric Reichenbach, also not a great player, but, you know, he gave us one of our greatest moments of the show. Mm-hmm. Huge fan, but strategic mastermind, no.
And
right?
In fairness,
so
you're a great case study because you didn't come into Survivor as somebody who was like a super fan of the show.
No, I'd never even seen the show before.
You never saw one episode of Survivor before you played the first time?
No. Well, I watched, I'll take that back. I watched Palau the week before I left to go play Survivor.
Okay.
So I watched Stephanie LaGrossa do her thing on Palau. And that was the only thing I knew about Survivor. So I thought it was all about surviving on an island by yourself.
You thought you would be the last person left like Stephanie.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. If she could do this, I could do this. She was my inspiration going on there.
But that's because she was all I knew.
Okay.
So I think it has to do with, really, it has to do with the caliber of player that you're putting out there. I don't think they have to be super fans of the show to be strategic and play really well.
So then were you disappointed when you didn't get to be on a tribe with Stephanie in Heroes versus Villains?
Not after watching.
Not after watching Heroes versus Villains, or after watching more?
Not after watching Heroes versus Villains. No, I wasn't.
Yeah,
she wasn't very warm or friendly to me.
Ever?
No.
Well, never. She might have resented you because, you know, she was, you know, probably the most notable Survivor female player at a time. And like, I remember I went to the Survivor Vanuatu finale I don't even remember where I was. I was somewhere. And like, I remember Rupert was like, kind of like anti Stephanie when she came along, because it was like, you don't like the person who is the next thing. And, you know, after you won in Heroes versus Villains, I think they said, oh, no, this is now the prototype for Survivor Woman. Forget Stephanie. Now here's Parvati. You were the new hotness.
Right. Yeah. That's a tough pill to swallow.
A tough pill to swallow. Stephanie probably didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought that's what Sierra was trying to pull after her showing on Fans versus Favorites.
So you feel like that Sierra after the Sierra after Blood versus Water?
Yeah, Blood versus Water.
So you feel like Sierra felt like she was the new Parvati?
Yeah, she was getting some kudos.
Yeah, well, Jeff Probst did come out and say, like, now that's how you play the game.
Yeah.
So did you feel like Stephanie?
Too. It's like people that stand up for what they believe is right and stay true to themselves. Like, Sierra was getting it from all sides. Like, Tyson's after her. When Tyson is on you and someone has played a couple of times before, a lot of people will defer to that person's wisdom, thinking that they know better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what Baylor's doing with Missy. And that's what bothers me. But Sierra didn't let Tyson get to her. She stood up to him and was like, all right, we're drawing rocks. Sucka, let's do it.
So would you have been called to Sierra like how Stephanie was called to you?
What do you mean?
You said that Stephanie wasn't warm to you.
Oh, cold. I thought you said called. Like,
no, cold.
Like on the phone or something. No, because I am not threatened by Sierra. And I like it when people succeed. And I interviewed her at the finale at the red carpet for the end of Blood versus Water.
Get your seasons right.
Too many of these. I interviewed her at the end of the show, and I gave her some props, and I told her that I was impressed with her gameplay. She did good.
Okay. And she was warm back towards you.
Yes, she was.
Okay, good. I want to hear that all the Survivor women are getting along.
Yeah, everyone's doing well these days.
Except for you and Stephanie.
Well, I mean, I just don't know her, and then we never really clicked.
Who would you rather go out for a filet mignon pizza with, Stephanie or Amanda Kimmel?
Amanda Kimmel.
Interesting. I'm trying to think of, I want to make sure.
I've never had a filet mignon pizza.
You should try it. Get one at Gigi's. They're the best.
Yeah, now that I live in NYC.
I think that's in Philly. Right. Was Jeff Probst really mad at the Heroes versus Villains finale when Stephanie did that shout out?
What was her shout out?
She about the pizza.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, wait, what are you talking about?
You were there.
You think I heard anything that happened that night?
What?
No.
Cause,
but above Russell and Sandra's screaming at each other, they were squawking, and I'm just sitting in the middle.
Yeah.
And ready to go home.
Now, did you think, I don't know if we've ever talked about that, did you think that you were going to win when you were there that night? Did you feel like you already knew what was going to happen?
No, I knew that I lost after that tribal council. When we were driving back in the van to Ponderosa after tribal council was over, I turned around. I was in the middle seat and Sandra was sitting in the back. I was sitting in the middle with Russell. And I turned around to Sandra and I said, congratulations, you just won.
But it was close. Like, you couldn't have thought that one person ended up going the other way?
No, I just knew it.
You knew it?
So brutal. You didn't see the whole tribal council, right? You just saw the edited version. So you missed the whole other 2 hours of everyone just being so really just like raking me over the coals and telling me, you know.
I honestly didn't
have their votes.
I don't really remember, you know, I haven't ever watched that since it was on the air. At some point I will go back and look at it, but I don't recall exactly how mean people were in that tribal council.
They were pretty brutal, but you didn't really see all of it.
Yes. Why people were so mean and they were talking about stuff that wasn't even on the show. Is that why they had to cut it out or it just didn't make sense?
I think just for timing.
Yeah.
And why? Right? Like tribal councils sometimes last over an hour, but they can only be about 10 minutes of the show, maybe less.
Well, why were people so mad at you?
I think it had to do with just like previous gameplay. Like Amanda was always mad at me for, I don't know, winning. And Candace was mad at me for voting her out. And then Amanda was mad at me for voting her out. And people thought that I was their friend and that I think they felt like I should have kept them or fought to keep them in the game or worked with them because of our past relationships. And when I didn't do that, I think they were very hurt.
Yeah. But now Candace was mad at you for voting her out in this game, right?
Yeah.
Right. Who went further in Survivor Cook Islands?
I did.
You did. So she wasn't mad at you about that?
No, because I had nothing to do with her getting voted out.
Okay.
And I was always on her side for that one. We were buddies after that game.
Yeah. And so what about people like Colby? What was his problem?
I don't know. He was just a strange one. I think that what happened was back at Ponderosa, people were just campaigning for Sandra. And Colby liked Sandra. And I think he didn't like maybe my previous gameplay, how I voted all the guys off and made them look stupid. So Colby didn't want to be endorsing that.
Yeah.
But I do think it had more to do with my past reputation and gameplay in season 13 and season 16 than it had to do with my actual gameplay in 20.
Well, Parvati, I appreciate you talking about this stuff with me. I feel like I don't know if we've ever talked about this.
I don't think we have, yeah. Really.
I like to go back.
But now you're really prying into my soul here, Rob.
Well, I feel like while I have you on the line, I might as well, right?
Yeah, that's why you're good. That's why your podcast is now on its over 1,000th
yes.
episode.
Yes, this is the first time in the four digits that we're talking to you and John Fincher.
Huge. That's huge. Okay. Epic.
All right.
Really.
And everything's going good with you and the Fincheler?
Everything's going well.
Okay.
The Finch really loves New York. He's having a great time at Columbia.
Yes, I bet. So this is exciting.
Yeah, it's a whole new phase of life. It's a new adventure, really.
Yeah. I see that today.
I would like to be back hosting Survivor Live though next season. I really want to host it for 30.
Now, did you want to host the Survivor Live this season, or was that you were going to New York?
Of course. No, I really want to. I love hosting that show. It's so fun. I love interviewing the contestants and being that like one who brings them, you know, back to sort of ushers them back to reality across the bridge. But moving to New York, I wasn't able to do it, right? Because I started this job at CBS News, which is a full-time gig, and Survivor Live's in LA.
Yeah.
So I had to make a tough choice.
So was there any conversation of, hey, could I do it in New York? Or it was like, hey, if you go to New York, then you can't do this.
I pretty much knew. It's sticking in LA. It has. That's where the production is.
Because they used to do it in New York back in the day.
Way back in the day, yeah. Like in the earliest iterations, back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Yes. Now, has Jeff Schroeder contacted you for any advice or anything to ask you, like, hey, Parv, I know you did Around the World for Free right after me, so I would love to get your advice.
What do you think he answers that question?
Probably.
Really?
Yeah, he probably did his due diligence.
He's no Rob Sesternino.
He's not done his research.
Oh, nope.
But so you would you'd be up for a return to Survivor Live?
Yeah, that would be fun.
And so this new CBS, I saw that they announced like this new streaming news service. Are you doing anything on this? Are you a part of this?
Yeah, I'm guest anchoring on the 7 o'clock live stream every now and then with a guy named Jeff Glore, who's an evening news anchor.
So you
CBS News.
You're reading news on the new CBS streaming app?
Sometimes I'm reading news. Sometimes I'm sharing about some health stories or other stories that I've created video content for, or written up articles about.
Wow.
Just depends on what's going on that day. You know, news never sleeps, Rob.
So news. neither does the Survivor news. I'm gonna start a new app for the streaming Survivor news. We'll just be
breaking
news. Hold on.
They run out of rice.
At this hour, we have a break. We interrupt this regular podcast. Like Brandon Hance is engaged, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my God.
Hold on. Breaking news. Wait, he's single again. He's single. All right. Hold on. Breaking news, everybody. Johnny Fairplay has made breakfast. It looks like it's eggs, sausage, and bacon.
Do you think Johnny Fairplay has ever made breakfast?
I'm making that joke because apparently you don't follow him on Instagram. He's always Instagramming pictures of his food, whatever he's eating.
Oh, like, you're right. I don't follow Johnny Fairplay on Instagram. I'm very selective about people.
You're not
missing
anything.
I only want to know what's going on in certain people's lives. It's not one of them.
Oh boy. Well, Parvati, we miss you out here. Nicole and I miss seeing you on the regular.
But I miss you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. We took it for granted when you were here.
Oh yeah, but we still shared some good time. We laughed.
Took it for granted.
All right.
Well,
so much.
Anyway, it's so much fun to get to talk to you. I wish we could do this even more. But I'm so happy that everything that you've got going on in New York, and look at you, that you're not just doing Survivor stuff. You've got a career, and this is very exciting.
Well, thanks, Rob. Glad you're enthusiastic.
I'm enthusiastic. This is great. Anyway, so
it's always fun talking with you too.
Thank you so much for coming on. Let's see if we can get this Survivor team and Grassroots Soccer some donations. If you're interested in helping out Grassroots Soccer and what Parvati and Ethan are trying to do with this LA Fest this weekend, go to robhasawebsite.com/LA Fest. They're trying to get up to $1,000 for Grassroots Soccer. They need to beat the Amazing Race and the Bachelor team. Do you want to talk any smack about the Bachelor team?
I know nothing about these teams that we're going up against, but last time we played, the Amazing Race team, we crushed. The Bachelor team gave us a run for our money.
I bet so, these other shows definitely. They want to beat the Survivor team.
But what are you, Rob? I want to know what you're going to give people who donate.
What am I going to give people
someone
who donate?
Someone from Rob Has a Podcast is going to donate the most amount of money for the Survivor team on CrowdRise. And what do they get from you?
Barbie,
do they get a signed t-shirt?
What do I have a t-shirt I don't have a t-shirt to.
Yeah, like best fan, like number one best. Rob Has a Podcast.
No, Parvati, now hold on. You're doing this wrong. That you just told me about, what's in it for you. I mean, that you're fundraising. This is Ethan's charity. Don't put me on the spot. What are you going to do for the person that is going to contribute the most money to this?
This is your platform.
No,
these are your fans.
No, Grassroots Soccer is not my platform. LA Fest is not my platform.
For listening to you talk for over 1,000 podcasts,
yeah.
They deserve a t-shirt.
Look, that... I'm not disputing that, but I'm saying this is not my cause. You already got me on the hook. I'm going to make a donation.
Yeah.
What are you going to do for these people?
Well, I am going to, okay. So for the winner the person who donates the most amount of money for this Survivor team,
1 hour phone call with John Fincher,
I will give
an hour phone call with John Fincher and a filet mignon pizza and a date with Stephanie.
Like, Stephanie's married.
Okay. It will be a platonic date. It's not like
double.
Don't
go a double date.
No, but I'm sure that I could send someone a buff and maybe, I don't know, a Miss Survivor mug.
You're gonna send them your Miss Survivor mug?
Just kidding. That's my favorite coffee cup. I would never do that. But I could send them. I have buffs I can send.
Okay. I want to get this down. So the person that contributes the most money for LA Fest, you're gonna send them a buff?
The top five donators.
Top five people.
I'll send five people buffs.
Top five, baby.
Yeah.
That's huge.
If they donate right away, because it has to be done before Saturday.
Before Saturday. Right? Okay.
It has to be donated before Saturday, and $50 or more gets you a signed buff.
Signed. What if more than five people?
And maybe also a little surprise.
Whoa. What if more than five people contribute more than $50?
Then I will send the rest of those people buffs as well.
Okay. Oh, wow. So this is now we're talking. And what season? What season buffs? Is this from this season? From one of your seasons?
I can't confirm the season of the buff.
Okay. All right.
But they can make special requests if they have special buff requests, but I can't confirm that they are going to get their specially requested buff.
Okay.
But
is it a?
I will put a little surprise in with the buffs if they donate $50 or more.
Is it a John Fincher signed glue tribe buff?
I have a ton of those laying around. Nobody wants them. Just kidding, Dave.
Is it a Dave Ball signed glue buff?
People are clamoring for Dave Ball buff.
Is it a Shambo signed? I know John Fincher has all the Laura Moret signed buffs already.
John Fincher has an altar set up to Laura Moret. It's not only buffs, but it's like a lock of hair. It's very weird.
It's the Russell Swan. It's actually the Matt Singh Russell Swan buff, though.
there's so many ways that we could go.
You guys just have wall-to-wall buffs at your apartment.
Actually, I really don't have that many buffs, so these are very exclusive.
Exclusive. All right. Yeah. So robisthewebsite.com/LAFest. I have no doubt that you're going to get some contributions for the good cause, grassroots soccer, this weekend in Carson, California.
Yeah. Yeah, buddy.
All right.
And they can come and just cheer on the team. It's a really fun event.
All right. Well, come on out. Watch the survivors as they take on the Bachelor team and the Amazing Race team and the Jeff Probst show team. Are they still together?
Whoa, you know what else I just thought of that I'll do for people who donate $50 or more?
What's that?
I will follow them on Twitter.
Oh, okay. And you're not going to like unfollow right after Saturday?
Nope, it's a full follow.
Okay. That's good. That's a good deal. All right, now if I donate $50, do I get a buff?
What? Sorry?
If I contribute $50, do I get a buff?
Oh, God, Rob, fine. It's not like you don't have a million buffs at your house.
I still have the last buff you gave me.
Well, if you want a buff, I will give you one.
Okay, awesome.
I will acknowledge.
Thank you very much. All right. Parvati, follow Parvati on Twitter, @Parvati Shala.
My business manager has just come into the room and he says, for anyone who donates $200. They get a signed autographed photo.
A signed autographed photo of Jess Parvati or Parvati and John Fincher?
Signed and autographed by both John Fincher and me. And who knows what the photo is going to be? It's not going to be a headshot. That's
Whoa!
It's going to be a candid photo.
A candid. Now, do you guys have a couple name? Did we ever establish this?
No. Mm-mm.
Well, let's nail this down too before we go. What do you want to go with? We got Parcher.
No.
Pincher. You got Pincher.
That one's pretty good.
you like hashtag Pincher?
I like that. Pincher? That's our That's our couple name.
Okay. There you go. All right. So good stuff. Good stuff.
Thanks. John likes it. He's wiggling his tush.
Whoa. Okay. That's not what the photo is going to be of, is it?
You don't know. It's a surprise.
All right. Well, Parvati, thank you so much. Thanks for being so generous with your time. Really appreciate it. All the best to John Fincher, too. Hope he's making a full recovery from his rugby concussion.
He's great. He's currently whipping up some sort of pasta concoction in the kitchen. He's fully functioning.
He's a true Renaissance man.
Yeah, right? A maverick, some would say.
Maverick. Wow. All right. Take care, you guys. All right.
Okay. Bye. Thanks, Rob. Thanks, everyone.
Okay. Bye.
Later.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Parvati Shallow back here on Rob Has a Podcast. Very, very fun to get Parvati on here anytime we can. And boy, the fun is not going to stop now because we have another treat for you guys today. Very excited to have this guy back on the podcast. The last time we did the voicemails together, I believe he was here in person. Unfortunately, we're only getting him over Skype today. Here he is. From all sorts of shows on post-show recaps that he does with me, and also the go-to Survivor guy for Parade Magazine. Here he is. It's Josh Wiggler.
Hi, Rob. I am here on Skype today, but I'm Skyping from your closet.
No, the call is coming from the closet?
It's coming from inside the house.
Oh, my God.
No,
oh
I'm,
my
God. I'm only there in spirit with you, Rob.
Okay. Well, anyway, Josh, good to talk with you again about Survivor. The last time we actually spoke about Survivor on the podcast, we talked about the seven things you need to know about Survivor San Juan del Sur. And one of those moments from that podcast actually made it to the 1,000th episode. So we're...
I know. Oh my gosh. I was so touched by that. People like the Batman voice, I guess.
Okay, so we'll see. No Batman calls for you today.
No Batman calls today? That's okay.
Yeah. Now, Josh, I know that you started doing exit interviews this season, and you do them for Parade Magazine. I know you spoke with Julie this morning.
I did.
What was your take after talking to Julie?
Oh, you know, everybody that I've talked to this season, they're all very nice people, I think. I don't know. It was hard. This was a tough one to do because it's tough to see somebody leave the game like that. And you know, it's hard to like, you try and get yourself in their headspace. What are they thinking? Why did they do it the way that they did it? Your knee jerk reaction as a fan of the show is to be pretty bummed about it, be pretty mad about it. But I just kind of wanted to get to where she was coming from with this thing. And I don't know. She certainly has no regrets. She seemed very nice. She does not like Baylor.
No.
I was. She calls her spoiled rotten. Was not a fan of Baylor at all. And she said that you know she got a lot of crap from some of the people at Ponderosa when she got back. She said Dale and Kelly were not so thrilled with her. Val wasn't so thrilled with her. So she seems like she is not necessarily on great terms with some of the people in the cast. And I get that. These people, especially some of the pre-merge people, are probably not so thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. How was your experience with Miss Julie? I listened to your podcast with her. That was good.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, we got some information there, you know, and she wasn't like standoffish with me at all, which sometimes, you know, you could have somebody who kind of comes on and is a little adversarial. I don't think that was necessarily the case with her. I mean,
no, I asked you before, I think I asked you right after you would talk to her because you do the interviews a little while before I do.
Inside baseball.
So I asked you how she was and how you were with her, because I know you were really, you were not thrilled on the know-it-alls last night. And you said you went Kathy, not Lex on her, which I appreciated.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the, you know, if you come out swinging at one of these people, they're going to, I feel like, start swinging back. But I think you want to, you know, sort of like, you know,
you were on the show. I was a fan of you. You were like a friend to me.
Like, WTF, Julie. WTF. You know, and it's hard with some of these, you know, quitters and other people like that. And we'll talk about that in these voicemails that are coming up of how Survivor has handled the quitters over the course of the years. But I think what you want to do is like, I think you want to have a little bit of a softer approach, because if you come out swinging against one of these people, they're going to shut down. They're not going to give you anything.
No,
so
absolutely.
Yeah. If the exercise is to try to get to the bottom of it, you know, they'll hang up the phone at some point, you know?
Yeah. They'll Dan Lembo you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think we want to find out the story a little bit more. And the people that don't probably won't even listen to what she has to say. But the people that are tuning in, I think that they want to get some more information about what she's doing.
Well, I will say it has been it's an interesting line to ride for those reasons, and especially with something like a quit from the game, where you do want to get all this information, you do want to stay objective, and you want to have a good interview, but sometimes it's hard to bite your tongue.
Yeah,
it can be tough. So, this is my first full season of doing exit interviews. You know, I'd spoken to Vetus for you on the podcast during the original Blood versus Water. I did the Kageyan red carpet for the Final Four, but this is my first season of going all the way through with the cast, so I'm learning as I'm going here, but it's fun. I'm having a good time.
Yeah, who's been your most fun exit interview so far?
I thought Drew was pretty great.
Yeah,
maybe not for the right reasons necessarily.
Yeah,
but he was pretty incredible, Drew. Yeah. Especially because that episode was so wonderful. I thought the Drew exit was just so ridiculous. So it was good to talk to him the next day. Drew is Drew Lander, as I like to call him. Drew was great.
Yeah, very good. You know, I thought that his episode was fun. I wouldn't say that his exit interview was the most fun, because he kind of, I felt like, was feeling bad about how the edit was, and that's always a tough thing to navigate. Where I think he felt like they kind of made him out to be an idiot.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's
tough. I just like the way he talks.
Yeah.
I just like how he sounds. I think it was fun to just have a conversation with Drew. I just enjoyed that.
And
it was good.
Both the Wentworths were very fun.
Yes.
John Rocker was definitely a handful. And I can't forget about Nadia.
Oh yeah. Nadia was fantastic, actually. Nadia was the best.
Yeah. So
that was
good too.
Very vulgar.
Yeah. And Val wasn't bad. So it's been a pretty good season for the exit interview so far.
Listen, this is not my favorite season of Survivor.
Yes.
But I like these people a lot from what I've gotten out of the people I've talked to. And even, you know, looking at the people who are still left on the show, I like a lot of these people. I don't necessarily think that they're great Survivor players, but I like a lot of these people, I'm pulling for some of these people for sure.
Yeah. So you're a little more bullish on this season than public opinion.
Well, I'm certainly, you know, it's not in my top 10 or anything like that. And it's, you know, it's not a season that I'm necessarily appreciating on a game level. I'm appreciating it for comic value. There's a lot to be found there, I think. I like a lot of these people, but you know, it's also just different. And I think that seeing a new version of Blood versus Water has been, I think it came a little too soon after the first Blood versus Water, but we're seeing, you know, different outcomes from the first one already. And I think that's interesting, you know, being at the merge at this point with so many pairs still in the game and singles being kind of the rarity right now, I think it could be an interesting finish. So we'll see. I'm open-minded. It's Survivor. I'm just happy to be watching some new Survivor.
Okay. Well, we'll see what ultimately ends up happening. Do you think when all is said and done at the end of the season, do you think that this season will be in the top half of seasons?
No, no way.
No way. So you don't even think it has a chance to be number 15?
I don't think so. I think you need a few more people who are legitimate players. I think that really you've got Josh and Jeremy are pretty obvious legitimate players. And then I think Missy's pretty good. I think Natalie's pretty good. I think there's some people who are pretty good, but then there's a lot of quiet people. There are too many like purple characters.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also Keith Nail, and Keith Nail's my man.
Really? I didn't know you were such a big Keith guy.
Oh yeah, I'm rooting for Keith to go all the way.
Why? What is it about Keith that really speaks to you?
Well, you know, when you've got like the Dumb and Dumber season like this.
Dumb
like
and Dumber 2.
Yeah, Dumb and Dumber. Like
Blood versus Water 2.
Yeah. San Juan del Dur, as I call it. You know, I'm kind of just rooting for the guy who just makes me laugh the most. Like I think Jeremy and Josh are very good. I don't think either of them are great, and I think that they're the best people out there. So when that's the situation, I kind of just want the guy I like the most, the person that I like the most, to go all the way, and that's Keith by miles and miles. And frankly, I think he could do it.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see. Well, ultimately,
he's got an immunity idol. He won an immunity challenge. He's well liked.
Yeah.
I think he could go the distance. He's got a lot of airtime. That's always a plus.
So far, so good for Keith. All right. So we're going to get into your voicemails. But first, I just want to take a moment. And I have some, we've had so many announcements lately. I kind of feel like I don't want to overwhelm you guys, but we have something new that is coming up. And a lot of people had asked for this for quite some time. Of course, for years, I've been telling you about robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, our link to be able to buy stuff on Amazon. The way that works is that you can make your purchases on Amazon.com if you live in the United States, and then you go ahead and you don't pay any extra money, but we get reimbursed for Rob as a podcast with a small percentage of whatever you spent. We get like, you know, 4 or 5%, and then that, you know, does add up after a while, and we really do appreciate it when you guys go ahead and start going on Amazon, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon in the United States. But for years, our Canadian listeners said, well, can we use the link? And I'd say, I don't think so. It doesn't work that way. Sorry. You're with your nose pressed up against the glass, and no, you can't use the Amazon link. But I can now report that we finally have been able to figure this out, and we can use the Amazon link for Canada. So if you want to start your shopping in the Great White North in Canada.
Oh, man.
And everybody knows RHAP loves Canada. We've got an A in the title, RHAP. We love Canada. Canada loves RHAP. And so now you can start your Amazon shopping in Canada using the link robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. There you go.
That's such good news for my friend and fellow RHAP listener, Owen Craig, must be thrilled about this.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
and Wolverine, if he listens to RHAP. Wolverine's from Canada.
Sure.
Actually, Wolverine just died, so I don't know if he's listening.
Yeah. Well, really, Rob is a podcast. The audience of the podcast, you know, it's anywhere from like 30 to 40% of our audience is up in Canada. So we really do love the support that we get from Canada. And I do appreciate it if you guys want to go ahead and, you know, take the extra second and support the podcast when you do your Amazon shopping this season. All right. robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA for Canada. robhasawebsite.com/Amazon for in the US. All right. Let's get into the voicemails here. And yes. Let's see if I
have. Oh, my God. This is such a tough act to follow. Your voicemail segments this season have been pure gold. you know, I'm feeling very nervous following up on Snowy. The Mike Bloom podcast cracked me up. Antonio. So lots to live up to here.
Yeah. What about Bryce?
Oh my God, Bryce, are you kidding me?
Yeah, so it's been good.
He fielded a question from Samuel Tarley from Game of Thrones. That's so weird.
It's been a good season for the voicemail. I have to say that. Okay.
No, Rob, you've been on fire on the podcast, man. This has been great.
Oh, stop. Let's go ahead. Good start. It's a good start. Okay, let's go ahead and stop. A lot of our questions are going to be about quitters. Let me just prepare you for that.
That's fine.
Okay. Why don't we start with our buddy, Jeremiah Panhorst. He has a question about the quitters.
Hey, Rob and Josh. It's Jeremiah Panhorst. So we've had 3 straight seasons now where someone has quit the show. And for a viewer, obviously, it's very frustrating, and especially someone like myself who would do just about anything to be on the show. So if you were in casting or part of the producing team for Survivor, what would be your strategy to try to help stop this trend? Obviously, you think we'll just put people who want to really be on the show, but even those people sometimes can tend to quit. So what do you guys think? Is there any way to prevent this trend from happening? All right, take care, guys. Thanks. Bye.
So, Jeremiah, of course, one of the hosts on postshowrecaps.com. He just finished podcasting with Antonio Mazar about Boardwalk Empire on Post Show Recaps. So Jeremiah has a question. He wants to know, how can we stop the quitters? What could we do? Is there anything that we could do?
Yeah, I mean,
or anything that casting could do? We probably can't do it except like shame. Yeah, publicly
so shame
the quitters.
Yeah, I think like go to like the Survivor finale and just, you know, throw red paint on the quitters.
Boo!
Rubbish, filth, slime, muck, boo! Yeah. I think just shaming the quitters. No, I don't know. It's tough. And you know what? To his credit, Jeff is you know, making the rounds today and taking credit for casting Julie in the first place, for casting somebody that he didn't think was going to make it. I think that what they can do is, like, if they've got this feeling that a player is possibly going to quit, don't cast that person. Just don't do it. Don't do it. And I think that, you know, I think Julie was on the season because they really wanted Rocker. This is what Jeff is saying, that they anticipated that maybe this could end not well for Julie. I think he took to Twitter to say they thought that if Rocker left early, it would be hard for Julie to hang in the game. Turns out they were right. So if that's what they're thinking ahead of the season, if that's what they're thinking in the casting process, just don't do it. Don't do it. Don't cast the person. Just don't do it. Listen to your gut.
All right, let's take a question from Morgan Stradling because she wants to touch on this same thing.
Okay.
Hi, Rob. This is Morgan Stradling. So in Jeff Probst's interview this morning with Dalton Ross, he was talking about quitters, and he said, if they quit, it's on us. We either missed it, or in the case of Julie, we anticipated it, but put them on anyway. What? Are you kidding me? No words. Also, Jeff Probst, I think he's getting way too soft. When talking to Julie, he didn't even try to really convince her to stay. He just said, oh, okay, sounds good. You're officially out of the game now. Bye. So what do you think this means for modern day Survivor? Are quitters just a part of the game? Is there anything they can do to fix it other than not cast recruited men and women who they think are going to quit anyway? Thanks. Bye.
Again, this is what Jeff's talking about of that we anticipated it. And yeah, why put her on the show if they thought she might quit?
Yeah, totally. It's frustrating. It's frustrating. And I don't know. It's a tricky issue. It really sucks for Julie to go out like this, and it sucks for, you know, production to know that this is a possibility, or at least to feel that this is a possibility, and then it comes true. The other thing is, so Jeremiah said that's three seasons with a quit. I think it's more than three seasons with a quit, isn't it?
All right, let's go back and take a look in this week in quitting history.
Well, I think, you know, there's technicalities.
Okay. So last season we had, of course, Lindsay.
Oh yeah, she had to pull herself from the game, otherwise she was gonna pull Trish's face off.
And then we have Colton.
Why did
Colton quit? Like, I remember him saying that it was because he was going to he felt like it was helping Caleb. But did he? Is that what he said in the show?
I think so. Yeah, over it. Hashtag over it. I think was the reason.
Okay. All right. And then what about Survivor 26? That was the Shamar thing.
That's you could call it Shamar. You could call it Brandon.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I guess so.
I think those are, you know, people would put asterisks on those, but I think that they're in the conversation.
Yes. And then
before that is,
you're not going to give me Dana, are you?
Well, Dana's like she was not pulled from the game. She pulled herself from the game. I forgive that, of course.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. I think that was kind of a medevac.
Yeah, it's like a soft medevac.
Soft medevac. Yeah.
And what's before that? Is that that's One World? Possibly Colton again? Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, so there's been like an incident, you know, that where somebody has been removed from the game not by being voted out for the past, what is that, 5-6 seasons?
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Look, it happens. It happens. You know, the thing with the Julie thing of why did she get cast in the first place, though, if they thought that she was going to potentially quit, it's like they really wanted John Rocker.
Yeah.
So they were like, okay, they probably said to her, you're not going to quit, are you? She's like, no. And, you know, this is one of the easiest seasons. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
This has been an incredibly easy season. Like, I know she talks about, like, oh, yeah, it rained once. Like, okay, it's day 17, 18. Like, you're going to get one bad storm. Like, you've had one bad night so far. You had a free-for-all with the rice. You won a reward. You had the merge feast. Like, this has not been a hard season.
No, it really hasn't. It's especially for those Hunapus, you know, they had so much food until they didn't, but, you know, then they got more, and it was really only like, you know, a couple days without food. So I don't know. It's hard. It's hard. I really want to be nice on Julie. She seems like a good enough person, but it is tough to watch. And I think it's tough to, I don't know, the fact that this happened, just it sucks. It's unfortunate.
Okay. Let's take a question from Taylor Cotter. More on the quitters, a different perspective.
Okay.
Hey, Robin, Josh, Taylor Cotter here. I want to propose a theory. Quitters, even though they suck, are essential to the game. From a production standpoint, without quitters, the game would appear to be too easy. From a game standpoint, the game needs some weak players to allow the strong players to play well. By design, this will happen to include some quitters who essentially become non-player characters. What are your thoughts? Thanks, guys.
All right, Josh, what do you think about this? Are quitters a necessary evil? And in some sense, do they enhance the game because that these good players have to account for them?
I don't buy that.
Yeah.
Not really. I especially think with, you know, maybe you can make that argument with certain quitting situations. I think, like, if you're calling Dana a quit, like, that was like do or die for her, basically. That's the game is too difficult, you know, too physically demanding for certain people. I think for this, as you just said, this is a really easy season. You know, it rained once. She was eating pretty well. She had just eaten this huge feast. She was in a decent spot in the game, too. Let's not ignore that. So if anything, this really just reflects on poor casting than the season being hard, I feel like. So I don't think that Julie quitting the game really reflects this idea that Taylor's talking about.
All right, let's take a different perspective on the quit, and let's go to Kel, who wants to talk about the foreshadowing of the quit this season.
Hey, Rob and Josh. It's at Kelso_86 from Winnipeg, Manitoba. I have a question about the season preview back from episode 1. Do you think CBS intentionally provided this to preemptively alert fans that this season had a quitter and potentially lessen the backlash that was last seen after the Nayanka Purple Kelly quit? Would love to hear your thoughts. Huge fan of the Survivor podcast and the Walking Dead podcast and the Game of Thrones podcast and the Lost podcast. Keep up the awesome coverage. Thanks.
Whoa.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yes. All right. So Kel, a big Wiggler fan.
Oh man.
Big Wiggler guy.
He's the one.
He's the one.
That's the one.
So
I got one.
Let's talk about this idea of, do you think that at the beginning of the season, we did this big super tease and we talked about it, you know, ad nauseum, yeah, about, oh, there's a quitter this season. Who's going to be the quitter? Who's going to be the quitter? We knew there was a quit coming this season, but we didn't know who it was going to be. So do you think did that lessen the blow that we knew somebody was going to quit this season?
I mean, my fear is just, and we've seen it so far, that this is a strategically dull season. And I think that they really just need to make the most of the moments that they've got. And as disappointing as it is that somebody's quitting the game, it's a moment and it's something that they can hype up and that they can build up. So to soften the blow of somebody quitting, I don't think it is. I think it's to build up a big moment that's going to come up. I mean, you saw it in all of the previews leading up to last night's episode. It's like Trail Mix Scandal and What's in the Bag. So I think they really wanted to make a big deal out of it. Even with, like, when Jeff, you know, took like all of Hunapu's camp, when he took the tarp, left them with nothing but like a knife and a pot for a big bag of rice. They spent a week hyping that moment up as this big, big, huge moment. It was really not a big, huge moment at all in the end, especially because they merged like 5 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's just, there's, you know, I think it's kind of, it's not the blindside, Tony Vlacos crazy man strategy season that Kagayan was. And I think that maybe they are just trying to hype up what they've got. And these are moments that they can build up. So I think that's why it's in the super tease. Less about softening any blows and more about just pumping up whatever they can.
Pump it up. Pump it up.
Pump it up, baby.
Okay. Here's a question from Matt Forsyth. He wants to talk about quitters through the years.
Hey, Rob and Josh. So I was planning on asking this question during one of the upcoming patron casts, which is one of the many benefits of becoming a Rob Has a Podcast patron. But the question seems apropos for this moment. So I've been going back and rewatching a lot of the older seasons, and Jeff seems to handle quitters very differently from each other. With people like Austin or Johnny Fairplay, he was just furious at those guys, even though that they were voted out of their tribe. But with people like Crazy Kathy or Lindsay from last season, he seems okay with their quit. And even last night with Julie, he kind of seemed apathetic towards the whole situation. So what do you all think about the different ways that Jeff or the show handles quitters? Thanks. Bye.
Okay, so we
love the patron plug.
Yeah, well, that's not why we played the question. We have a good question here.
Okay. We do have a good question.
So we're talking about the history of people quitting on Survivor. Now, Josh, you watch a ton of Survivor seasons.
I do.
Correct me if I'm speaking out of school here.
But no, you're not.
You are constantly watching Survivor seasons.
Yeah, every now and then I'm watching a little bit of old Survivor.
Yes. And so you have seen your fair share of quitters.
I have. And I have it on good authority. You just watched Pearl Islands recently.
I did. I have looked at some older Survivor myself recently. And yeah. So according to what I'm looking here at the Survivor Wiki, it looks like we have 12 people that have quit the game so far. Is that fair? Let me give you the list of people they have, and you tell me if we're missing anybody. Colton, Julie McGee, Jenna Maraska, Survivor All-Stars. Sue Hawk, Survivor All-Stars. Nayanka, Purple Kelly. Melissa McNulty, that's a pregame quit. So I don't think we're going to count
that.
No,
we're
I'm not going to count
that.
Lindsay, Dana, Janu, Austin, Kathy Sleckman.
I can't think of any others on the top of off the top of my head. I mean,
we talked
about
Shamar
and Brandon
Hance. Yeah,
you know, those are technicalities.
Technicalities. Okay, so these are the people that are the alleged quitters. Do you feel like has the show greatly changed how they handle the quitters?
Well, really, night and day from Austin to Julie McGee, for sure. I mean, if you're just looking at those two examples, oh God, Jeff was horrible to Austin.
Yeah.
And he was really nice with Julie. But I don't think it's like in the olden days he was super harsh on people, and you know, in New School he's pretty soft on people. I think it varies. He wasn't thrilled with Nayanka and Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
He was not happy about that. He was kind of ambivalent towards Janu back in Palau. But like, you know, the Jenna Maraska thing, he was very understanding. The Sue Hawk thing, he was taken by surprise and reacted as gently as he possibly could in the moment. So it's not like in the old school Survivor days, he was always super furious with the quitters.
Yeah.
Really, it was mostly just Austin. He just hated Austin.
Yeah. So it seems like the quitters that he's been the most angry with were Austin and Nayanka.
Yeah, and Purple Kelly.
Yeah, Purple Kelly. She's sort of like just a throw-in. Like, I still say, like, you know, but if Nayaka didn't quit, Purple Kelly wasn't going to quit either. It was just like, she was like, can I quit too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you even doing here?
And Colton. I think that's probably
that's a big one.
The top three of people who were the most pissed off with Jeff.
So I think, you know, with Dana, Dana was a very special case. Dana was really not doing well. And if you probably gave her like two more days, she would need to be pulled from the game, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
He was very understanding there. I think with Lindsay, he was dealing with somebody who was, you know, going to march back to the beach and knock somebody's teeth out. So, you know, you talk to that person a little differently. It's like how he talked to Brandon Hance in Brandon's moment. He's giving him a massage because otherwise that guy's going to storm across the field and chop off Philip Shepherd's head. So I think it requires a different touch with different people.
Yeah.
I think with Julie, it's like, be nice to Julie or John Rocker will
gonna kill
come
you.
And knock down your door.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So interesting to see how we handle the quitters over the years. And
how did you feel about how he handled Julie, Rob?
You know what? I didn't have a problem so much with whatever, you know, she's going to leave, but I felt like he was a little bit coddling to her. And by a little bit, I mean, I'm very coddling of Julie. I'm trying to find my notes from last night, but what I wrote in my notes, when he's saying like, so like, tell me about this relationship between you and John. Can you just guys like, I just have to always be together all the time. Like, that's not what we want to hear. Like, don't go talk show mode on us right now, Jeff. We are trying to get to the bottom of this. Can you stay in the game? Like, it should be like, you know, Walking Dead, and we should have like three questions for the quitters. Like, it's like, can you make it any more days? Like, what will be the three questions?
It'd be like,
how many days have you made it so far?
How many days have you made it so far?
Yeah. How many more days can you go? Yes. Why?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so I just felt like, and he's like, yeah, so like, tell me about this relationship. And he was a little bit like, hey, you know, kids go to camp. And so I like that. That was a little.
And I think when he said that, like, and she was like, yeah, I know. And then like still wasn't backing down. I think it became a thing where he's like talking to her like she's a kid at
yeah.
that point. Where it's like, okay, so you can't even, you know, last longer than summer camp.
But in fairness to Jeff, I don't want to beg her to stay. Like, you know, I feel like, you know, it should be like, if she even hints at quitting, it should be like, get out of here. Get out of my sight. Get out of my sight. Get out of here. Like, so he should let her quit, but it's like, get out of here. Get out of my sight right now. You don't want to be here? Fine.
You know, you talk about the talk show host type of thing, and I think that's a big part of the appeal of Blood versus Water for Jeff.
I know.
You know, these types of seasons where it's, you know, it's people and their family and emotions are higher than they are on normal seasons because there's the loved one factor in play. So I think that he loves going into talk show mode anyway. He loves making things a very special episode, but I think that he really likes it here with the Blood versus Water season. So I think that actually does play a factor here in how he handles Julie.
Okay. Let's take a voicemail that is from Herson, and let's go ahead and play this. And he wants to talk about Julie, and he has some sanctions that he would like to enforce on Julie.
Hello, Rob. This is Herson from Alabama. I believe that anyone who quits should not be allowed to be on Miss Survivor. I don't care what the situation is. Please make this a thing. I would hate to see Julie to be even considered or talked about during the next Miss Survivor of Rod Hassa podcast. Please don't let this happen. Thank you very much.
Josh, should Julie be banned from the Miss Survivor 2015 pageant?
Well, you know, she did quit Survivor, but basically, like, haven't, like, the Mr. and Miss Survivors, haven't they all quit on you anyway?
Oh, how dare you, Josh Wiggler?
Listen, Malcolm, where's the belt?
Where's the belt?
Where's the belt? Hashtag where's the belt? Malcolm. So I don't know. Listen, Julie could be fun in the Miss Survivor campaign. Free trail mix for every patron.
Hmm.
You know, she could actually, I think, listen, she's got a redemption story to tell here.
Yeah.
You know, she's really got to make up some goodwill here in the Survivor fan community. I think it could be interesting to let her run.
Do we need a referendum on this? Do we need like a ballot initiative from the listeners of Rob as a podcast?
Oh man. I mean, you could do it that way if you want. You know, have the people vote on whether or not Julie's eligible. I mean, she's not going to be Miss Survivor anyway.
Okay. I'll send a note off to Kurt Clark this afternoon, the tabulator. Okay.
All right.
And then we can get a vote on this. Is it, what should the vote be? Like majority rules?
Yeah, I think so.
See, I think the problem is...
You can't do a unanimous vote.
The problem is it's going to be like one of these... Well, I meant what part? Like, do we need like a quorum? Do we need 2/3 right, to pass right. a bill like this? So this is where she's going to be in trouble with this, because the people that think she should aren't going to care enough to vote. And the people that think she shouldn't are going to really come out to, you know, it's election day. You know, the people who are the most pissed off, they're going to show up to vote. And the people that are kind of indifferent are just going to be like, eh, whatever.
I think you underestimate the buzzer's love for Julie McGee and the buzzer's ability to campaign for Julie.
You think Rob's taboo buzzer on Twitter?
I do. I think that he'd go hard.
I thought he was out on her.
No, I think that he likes her.
He's still in? Okay.
Yeah, I think he's in.
All right. So I will message Kurt Clark and go to the website. Go to this. I don't have a link to it or anything right now while we're recording the podcast, but go to robiswebsite.com and go to the show page, and I'll post a link to the ballot initiative, whether or not Julie should be allowed to run for Miss Survivor this year.
I'm just saying, what's the worst that could happen?
She could win.
She's not.
She could win, and then she'll quit.
Yeah, and that would not be the first time that this has happened in Mr. and Miss Survivor. Listen, I'm just speaking truth to you, Rob.
Well,
it is what it is.
Okay, let's go ahead.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
Are you tired of questions about Julie yet?
Well, this is like the most depressing topic ever. So it's a little sad. Do you have something else?
Yeah, no, this is more questions about Julie.
Oh my God.
Hey, Rob, this is Ryan. I feel like there's an obvious reason Quits McGee left the game when she did, and I just wanted to get your take on this. So by quitting when she did, that means she gets to go back and be with John and spend some vacation time with him versus being stuck as the first person on the jury with all the people that she didn't like. So I guess it was either that or maybe the trail mix got to her, and we know Quits McGee likes to take good care of herself, so maybe she just wanted some Charmin Ultra Soft. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I don't know if we needed the last part.
Quits McGee.
All right. So this is a theory.
That's unfortunate. That's going to stick. That's a sticky situation.
Feels like I stepped in gold.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No.
Quits McGee, no. Trail mix everywhere.
Yeah, it's tough when a nickname is a sticky nickname.
That's so sticky.
Okay.
So did Quits McGee quit because she wants to hang out with John? Of course.
Yes, that's what you think?
You know, yeah, I mean, like, she says like that wasn't on the table. She says that, you know, when she was talking with Jeff was saying, what if I told you John's not even back at Ponderosa? She's like, I still got to get out of here. I still got to go. She knew that John was at Ponderosa. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and you know, if she quits you know, a day later, she's on the jury at that point, right?
Yes.
We're at the jury phase at this point.
Is this the first time that somebody has ever engineered their own ouster so they don't have to be on the jury? Like, I've seen people go to some great lengths in real life to get out of jury duty. This is the hardest I've ever seen anybody work to get out of jury duty on Survivor.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder about, like, I don't know, Austin quit right before the jury started.
Yeah, I think he wouldn't have minded being on the jury.
I think he wanted to go on vacay. Austin seems like a party animal.
Yeah, he probably wanted, you think he wanted to go hang out with all of the people from, that. I mean, that was maybe a party group. And you had like people like Nicole Delma, my wife.
Yes, your wife was on the pre-merge.
Sure, Skinny Ryan.
Skinny Ryan's a party animal.
Yeah, based on what I read on The Smoking Gun, sure.
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
Who else is there? Michelle. Sean Cohen?
Yeah, Sean Cohen. So maybe he wanted to go hang out with a party group.
Doesn't
so,
he have a special? He has a special nickname, Sean, right?
Yeah. Johnny Fairplay used to call him Jebediah Kovat.
Right, so he could have hung out with Jebediah.
Yeah. So let's just sort of, let's take stock of who we're going on this pre-jury trip with. Of course, okay. If you're a newcomer to Survivor, you know, there's a lot that goes on with the people that are on the jury, but the people who are pre-jury people, they don't just send them home. They get to go on a trip of their own, and there's always, like, all sorts of crazy stories from the pre-jury people because they're all, like, bitter and pissed off, and they get crazy and stuff like that. So they're always a handful. So this season, we've got a pretty eclectic group here. Of course, we're going to kick it off with Nadia.
Yeah.
And then I'm assuming the jury starts in the next episode.
I'm assuming that as well.
Okay. So we're going to kick it off with Nadia. Then batting second. Then, of course, we're going to have Val.
Right.
Okay. And then batting third, the great John Rocker.
Johnny Rock.
Johnny Rock is there. And then, of course, then you got Drew.
He's basically a badass. That's good.
So, basically, I'm a badass.
He's a badass on the pre-jury trip.
That's right.
Then you have Wentworth's, Dale, and Kelly.
This is a weird pre-jury vacation, actually, looking at this.
Yeah.
Who's hanging out with who?
Okay. And then
the Wentworths are on their own.
Well, and then finally now we're going to add Julie to this. So it's like couples retreat for Julie and Rocker.
Yeah.
So they're like off on their own. I feel like, you know, Drew really, he was, not taken with Kelly in the game. Does he try to fix that situation after the game?
Based on my exit interview with Kelly, other people's exit interviews with Kelly, if he tried that, don't think it worked. I think Drew is like hanging out with like craft services chicks.
Yeah.
Hanging out with PAs.
Yeah. Well, again, they're going to go somewhere. They're not going to be hanging out with PAs or production people.
Well, he's hanging out with, I don't know.
Going to go
where,
on vacation.
Where are they on vacation?
I don't know. I mean, they go like go someplace else.
Some San Juan del Surf babes.
No, I think they like leave the country typically. Like they go like to like, so wherever San Juan del Sur is, Nicaragua, you know, maybe they'll go to like, you know, a completely different country. So maybe they'll go to like, you know,
El Salvador
or something like that. And so they'll go
to Costa Rica,
something like that. Yeah. And then maybe you think that, you know, Val and Nadia, they hang out together. They kind of knew each other, right?
I don't know. This is an awkward pre-jury thing. This is bad.
Yeah. And then who's the person that's really off on their own?
It's Drew. Drew. Drew's a one-man army. He's a one-man wrecking ball.
Oh, poor Drew. Poor Drew. All right. Well,
cleaning up.
He'll just have to, you know, just talk to all of the women that they meet along the way.
But I mean, yeah, come on. Julie knew the timing on this thing.
She knew the timing on it. Will John Rocker propose at the Survivor finale?
No, I don't think so.
That's not his thing?
No. If he proposes to her and then they get married and then she quits the marriage, that would be bad.
What is she, Missy?
Oh, rough.
Sorry about that. Okay. All right. So let's get off this a little bit. Actually, one more.
Okay, one more. Then can we please move on?
Well, okay. Well, it's hard. I mean, this is a big thing. People wanted to talk about. I can only play the voicemails that people call in.
I know.
You know, I don't set the agenda for this segment. You guys do. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Anthony Calistro.
Hello, Rob and Josh. Anthony Calistro here, and I have a problem with the edit. So yesterday's episode was based around not that Julie quit, but that her decision would be a $1 million decision for someone else. Now, this whole episode was based on Jeremy and Josh. So is it safe to say that one of them is going to win? I mean, while Probes was giving the speech to the tribe, they showed Josh and Jeremy with their confessionals. And when he said it was going to be a $1 million quit, they panned in on both their faces and gave them both another confessional. Now, is this because the rest of the tribe is just too boring? Or is it clear that one of them is going to win? Would love to hear your thoughts. Thanks. Bye.
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 Okay, so let's talk about this quit from the perspective of the players who are remaining in the game, specifically from Jeremy and Josh's perspective. And I really did like how they started to frame this episode of it's Jeremy versus Josh, you know, shades of, you know, Russell versus Boston Rob and stuff like that from Heroes vs. Villains.
I liked how Steven in his People blog positioned it as Pacino versus De Niro. It's like some heat action going on.
Whoa.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like this rivalry quite a bit. I like that it's like they both know that the other one is actually really good at this, and it just sucks because they are completely against each other. But they've got this kind of shared respect for each other's game. So I like that. I think it's a pretty cool dynamic.
Yeah, I do like that part of it. You know, they both know, like, oh, he's good. He's good. So they both realize that the other one is up to some stuff that's going to really be a problem. And so we keyed in on the faces of Jeremy and Josh after the quit announcement was made. So what do you think about how these two guys approach this now going forward?
What do they do next?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what you believe. Do you believe that John and Jacqueline really were going to swing over to Josh's side of things? Because if that's the case, then Jeremy's in trouble. Or does the fact that now John and Jacqueline have 3 more days to think about whether or not that was a good call, is that going to wake them up and make them realize maybe we're safer sticking with the Jeremy plan? So I think it's still TBD. I do think it's very likely. I'm more prepared to say that I think Jeremy or Josh could go home next week than one of them has to win. But it certainly seems like these are the two guys that we're meant to be thinking about as serious contenders for the title here.
Now, does the quit framed in this way provide more intrigue going forward?
I actually liked the episode, Rob. I liked it a lot because I thought that it was a lot of camp life and a lot of you know, these two sides of the battle really lining up their soldiers and getting ready to go to war. You know, again, Steven mentioned on Know-It-Alls, it's very similar to his merge episode in Token Genes, which is one of my favorite episodes of Survivor, because everyone's getting ready to blindside Brandon to just cut the head off of the dragon, and they can't do anything about it right as they're about to do it. So, you know, the outcome there was inevitable. The next episode, Brandon goes. Is it going to be as simple as that here in San Juan del Dur? I don't know. We might get a little more intrigue pulled out of it, but I really like that. I thought it was a really intense episode in that way, because the two power players are gunning for each other, and if we go to tribal council, it seems like one of them is going to go. I'm glad that we get to see that play out one more week, because I think it's the most competitive battle of the season so far, at least.
Okay, I got one more question that's kind of quitter related.
Quitter-esque.
Yeah.
Quitter-ish.
Yeah, yeah. It's like just on the outskirts of Quitterland.
All right.
Quitter adjacent. Okay. Quitter adjacent. Okay. This is from Patrick.
Hi, Rob and Josh. Patrick in Switzerland here. In honor of Josh's favorite impression, I'd like to suggest a new series of Survivor called That's So Craven, hosted by Josh in full Night's Watch gear. Now, the special season will be made up of all players who have quit the game before. But here's the kicker. The winner is the player that quits first. What do you think of the podcast?
All right, Josh.
It's a short season.
Yeah. Would you host a season of Survivor featuring all quitters as Samuel Tarly in the That's So Craven season of Survivor? That's So Craven. That's So Craven. Craven. That's So Craven. Yeah. That's me. I quit.
It sounds like it would be a short season. It'd probably be like 30 seconds.
What if? Okay.
Survivors, go. I quit.
All right. So here's the season. Let's bring in.
We have to amend the rules here.
No. It's different. Okay. So this is the season. Like, so we have all the quitters. It's like, again, let's bring in. It's Colton, Julie, like the real quitters. Let's get like Nayanka, Kelly, Purple Kelly.
My man Austin's in there.
Austin Janu. All right, and let's put them out there, and then it's like really like luxurious, like it's not hard at all. It's like they have like beds and like jackets, and it's all you can eat.
It's the haves versus they're not versus have nots. There are no haves. It's an all haves season.
It's all haves versus haves. And they have to say, like, you know, it's like, oh boy, like, you know, this is really nice here, but I want out. Like, no.
They can have anything they want.
Yeah.
Who would stick around? I don't know.
Although then you win. If you win the money as soon as you quit, though, right? So maybe we have to take the money down a bit.
I think fundamentally there's a flaw. This game is flawed.
So, all right. So we're going to say no to That's So Craven.
I'm open to That's So Craven. I think we need to adjust the rules. I think we need to think about it a little bit. I also would like to discuss my fee.
Okay.
All right. I would be interested in That's So Craven.
That's So Craven. Okay. All right.
Survivor Cravens versus Bastards.
Cravens versus Bastards. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That could be good. Okay. Would Michael Snow get to play?
Oh, yeah, of course.
There you go. All right. Let's go up to our question. I want to check in with Dave from Brooklyn. Hopefully not Fifth Avenue, Dave. Okay, this is Dave from Brooklyn.
Hey, Rob. This is Dave from Brooklyn. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. I want to know what's up with Keith and all his spitting. Is he dipping or something? Can you even bring chewing tobacco as a luxury item? And if not, what is it about the island that makes him salivate so much? Why is he spitting? Is he a llama? I am very concerned. Thanks again, Rob. And Mazel Tov on 1000.
All right. So thank you very much, Dave. Now, Josh, you said that Keith is your guy.
I love Keith.
That's your guy this season.
That's my guy.
And so have you noticed that Keith seems to be spitting a lot?
Well, I noticed it last night when he's talking about how, like, I'm done with Missy and Baylor.
Yeah, okay. I have that clip. I don't know if you can hear the spitting so great. The music sort of picks up. But here's Keith spitting talking about Missy and Baylor.
I could care less about Missy Baylor.
Did you hear that? A little spit at the end?
No, not really.
It's right when, listen again, it's right when the music picks up.
I could care less about Missy Baylor.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Ah, poof.
Yeah. So he's so mad at Missy and Baylor, he could spit.
I'm so mad I could spit.
Yeah. Wesley. Yeah. So
I love when he calls Wes Wesley.
Yeah, that's
good. I mean,
good.
I know it's his name, but he's, you know, billed as Wes on the show. So I just like him calling Wes by his full name. Yeah. Wesley?
Yeah. So he's very, very frustrated with Missy and Baylor. And we talked about this on Survivor Know-It-Alls. Bad job by Missy on how she approached that.
That was not good.
That was not good.
I think Missy's doing a lot of stuff right, but I think that was not great.
That was not great. So why is he spitting so much? Is it just for effect? Does he spit all the time? Certainly he does not have chewing tobacco. No, you cannot bring dip on Survivor.
No way.
No.
blades of glass? Of grass?
Oh, like Cal?
Yeah, Cal.
Yeah. So
didn't Cal leave a voicemail? Is that Cal? Cal? Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe Keith's just a spitter. Some people were spitters.
Yeah. All right. So he just seems to have a lot of saliva. Is that what's going on?
He's got a lot to say. Talks really fast. It just builds up real quick. He's got to put that spit somewhere. So he spits. He just spits.
Okay.
He's a spitter, not a swallower.
Whoa. All right. Easy. Easy.
Come on.
Easy.
Rob.
Come on now.
Sorry.
All right. All right. Let's go. Let's go to Dallas for our next call.
Hey, Rob and Josh. This is Missy. I'm wondering why you guys on your show keep calling me Muffin. My name is not Muffin. My name is Missy. I don't even like muffins. Well, maybe the kind with the little chocolate chips in them. Those are kind of good. But I'm more of a donut gal. I love the donuts, the jelly donuts especially. But I do have to be careful when I eat them because sometimes it gets me in a sticky situation. Anyways, my question... Missy's question for Josh is, What do you think of the way the first ever Josh is playing on the game Survivor? And remember, it's Missy, not Muffin. Quit calling me Muffin. Okay, bye.
All right, Josh, this is a first here.
Are we calling her Donut now? Jelly Donut.
This is a first because nobody from the season has ever called in to leave a question on the voicemail.
Isn't that like against the rules?
I don't know. Now, I thought there was a social...
Can't CBS fire these people? Can't they sue these people?
Well, they can't. The season's already taped, so there's really nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do if they call into the voicemail. I mean, it's technically that's not even social media.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Well, it's kind of, yeah, you know what? You're right. I think this is a technicality. Loophole. Survivors, you guys have found a loophole.
Yeah. And
very good.
All right. So I want to apologize because if Missy doesn't want to be called Muffin.
What does Muffin think, though?
Like, who's Muffin? Yeah, I think we gotta knock it off if she doesn't want it.
I got to be honest, though. I think you can't, just like you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, you can't put the muffin back in the wrapper. You know, Muffin's
back
out
in the
there.
Oven?
Muffin's out there. Muffin's out there. Everyone knows Muffin now.
Yeah.
I'm sure Missy, you know, Missy is going to get used to it.
Yeah.
Missy is Muffin. Muffin is Miffy. Miffy?
Miffy. Miffy. No, don't make a new thing. Don't make Muffin? A new third thing. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's all blending together. No. Muffin's a thing. Muffin's a thing. There's no walking it back. Sorry, Muffin.
Do you think she likes it?
Doesn't sound like it.
Doesn't sound like it. All right. So I want to then apologize to Missy if she doesn't like it.
Sorry, Muffin.
Sorry, Muffin.
What does Muffin think, though?
Like, who's Muffin? Who is Muffin? Who is Muffin exactly?
Who is Muffin?
Okay.
Unsolved mystery.
All right. Let's take another question here. Let's go.
Nothing about my man Josh versus Survivor Josh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. I thought the whole thing was about Missy versus Muffin.
I feel dissed.
Yes. Okay. Well, let me get a do-over then here. And give you a do-over with that question. And let me go to Daniel Latiano. Okay. Here's your do-over on that.
Hey, Robin, Josh, here was my question. So, Josh, I know you are super excited to hear that there's going to be finally a Josh that's playing Survivor. And not only that, he's actually pretty good. I mean, when I had a Daniel, he was the third person voted out of his tribe. Thanks for that, Rob.
Sorry about that.
But in any case, I want to hear specifically from you, Josh, what do you think of Josh? And maybe if you want to say a few words about Reed, too. Take care.
All right,
I will.
All right, so Josh, all right, here's
wasn't Daniel second out of your tribe?
Second out of the tribe, third out of the game, yeah. It's, you know, it's split hairs. What about Dan Lembo?
Dan
Final
Lembo
four.
Made it far.
Final four.
You gotta be proud of that.
He made it to the Survivor best 1,000th episode.
Yeah, he was the bee's knees.
Yeah.
The bees had artificial knees.
Okay. All right. So what do you think of Josh? You were pumped up in the preseason to have a Josh play Survivor.
Yeah, I was just pumped to have a Josh on Survivor. And I'm thrilled that the Josh of Survivor, the first Survivor Josh ever, is a big factor out there.
Big factor.
He's an important player out there. So I love it. Of course I love it. Of course I'm rooting for him. Not as much as I'm rooting for Keith, but I'm rooting for Josh quite a bit. And I'm very happy with how he's playing. He's, you know, he's been a little the Baylor vote in the first round. That was kind of weird. I mean, I'm rooting for him against Jeremy right now, just out of name loyalty, but I don't know his plan. What do you think of his plan? Like, he seems really kind of dedicated to getting the eight couples to being the final eight. And that seems a little fishy to me.
Yeah, it's a little off just because it seems like Missy and Baylor are out. But I feel like he's sort of like, once Baylor said no or is like, I have to talk to my mom first.
Right, right. Then, let me check with my mom.
Yeah, I have to talk to my mom because my mom said I'm not allowed to make any alliances. That was really one of the most interesting parts of the episode, that conversation between Missy and with Baylor, because...
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I liked when Missy said to Baylor,
get in the back seat and let me drive.
Let me drive.
Pedal to the metal, Mike.
Yeah, get in the back seat. So I thought that was good. I have here's a clip of Missy getting out of the back seat. Yeah.
There you go. That's a really good audio clip. That's great. How did you get that?
Yeah.
I'm kind of creeped out.
Yeah, it's right here. Here's Missy getting out of the back seat.
God. Does music just play whenever she gets out of cars?
She gets out of the back seat
and let me drive.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. How do you like that? That's what it's like. It's a carpool.
It's a carpool.
Yeah. Yeah.
What happens if she and Rebecca Black are in the car together? Who sits where?
Love you, Bay.
I don't know.
Love you, Bay. are we talking about Bay, or are we calling Rebecca Black Bay? Love you, Bay.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Like the slang.
Yeah. All right. So as far as whether or not Josh's plan is going to work, I mean, I feel like I think he outmaneuvered Jeremy last night.
Do you think that was legit? Do you think that Jeremy would have gone home there?
See, the thing is, it's like we're relying on John and Jacqueline to be our narrator. It's like we know what Josh's position is. We know what Jeremy's position is. But, you know, John and Jacqueline, we're going to change their mind like 8 more times before tribal council.
That's scary.
They're very wishy-washy.
It's terrifying. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
For them to be the power players, you know, in the swing spot, that's really scary.
Yeah, it really is scary. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this is like one of those seasons where it's like, you know, John and Jacqueline, like, you know, flip a bunch of times and go, but not so much like in a good way, but more sort of like in a chaos cast sort of way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's like totally. they could sort of go one way one week and then go back the other way and just like end up with everybody pissed off at them and never really put themselves in a better position.
I could see it.
So
I don't know. We'll see. I think that this stay of execution for either Jeremy or Josh, because Julie left, I think how that plays out, I'm really curious to see how that shakes out. I don't think we'll have to wait too long to see which one of them wins out on this one. As for Reed, I was asked to talk about Reed for a second. Poor Reed, like, no airtime for this guy at
He got all. A fishy. What are you talking about?
I know. Why did he get a fishy?
I don't know.
Steven. That's crazy. Poor Reed. I think Reed has a 0% chance of winning the game.
A 0% chance?
Yeah, I do.
Spencer has zero chance of winning this game.
Oh my God, am I going to have to write Reed a letter if he wins?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. All right, so Reed has a 0% chance.
I think Reed has zero chance. I believe to a certain degree in the edit, and I think it's the same thing how I felt about Brenda back in Caramon, that she, you know, she went like 7 episodes or something crazy like that without a single confessional. And at that point, you can rule that person out from winning. The fact that Reed was so quiet for so long completely takes him out of it for me. I feel the same way about Jacqueline, who's starting to talk a little bit more. I feel the same way about Wes, who's talking a little bit here and there. I think those three you can completely rule out.
Reed was my pick, though.
I know. Reed was a lot of people's pick. And yeah. I think, you know, this is another thing.
I wouldn't rule Reed completely. I don't think he's dead in the water.
I would rule him out. I think that Josh has been shown as the powerhouse of that couple. Reed did not even really emerge until he kind of narked on Keith about, you know, suspecting Jeremy of having an idol.
But here's what I'll say. Let me just say this in defense of Reed's, you know, at least 1% chance to win the game. Okay. The editing is going to be off because it's a blood versus water season and everybody's in pairs. So let's say hypothetically Josh gets blindsided last week and then all of a sudden we start to see Reed a lot more because Josh isn't there. Like, I could see a scenario where somebody that's in a pair is getting overshadowed by their other half of the pair, which is playing a bigger game, and then they end up getting more airtime after the pair is gone.
But I think you got to set that person up early on. I really do. I think that you got to do a little bit more with Reed early on. You know, and it's not like there isn't story to tell there. You know, people who've left, this is something that when I spoke with Kelly in my interview with Kelly, she was saying that Reed had a reputation around Hunapu for being like the guy who's going around telling different stories to everybody. He was playing pretty hard, and so nobody really felt like
a storyteller like Penner?
Yeah, it's like, basically, I'm a storyteller. It's what I do. My opinion's not as good as yours. But Reed was going around making moves. He's like trying to make deals, and they didn't show any of that. They didn't show a single thing that Reed is doing. Reed was definitely playing based on what Kelly is saying. So I feel like why wouldn't they show that if Reed's a real factor?
Okay.
So I think I got to rule him out.
I wouldn't bet the house on it. I'm just saying that. I'm not ready to say 0% chance of winning the game.
I like
Spencer has zero chance of winning this game.
I don't want to say that.
You don't want to say that. Yeah. You don't want to have to write a letter.
I don't want to have to write a letter.
I'll write the letter. I'll write if Reed wins, I'll write the letter.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
I think Josh is a good shot. I think Josh is a very good shot. He's certainly getting a really positive edit.
Okay. Let's take a couple more questions. I want to take one from Jordan.
Hi, Rob. It's Jordan from Athens, Georgia. A longtime listener, first-time voicemailer. It's obvious that Josh and Jeremy have winners written all over them if either of them can make it to the finals. But what are the chances of having a female winner this year? Out of the four girls left, Natalie, Missy, Baylor, and Jacqueline, who has the best shot at winning the game, and who do they need to be sitting next to in order to achieve it? Thanks a lot, and congrats on the 1,000 podcast, man. Bye.
All right, let's talk about the women of Survivor San Juan del Sur, the ladies.
San Juan del Sur. I really like Natalie a lot.
You do? You're a big Twinny guy?
Yeah, I think that she's doing well.
Yeah.
I think she's doing well. I really liked when she volunteered to go to exile with Baylor to solidify that relationship. I thought that was really smart. I thought she was talking about the game in a really intelligent way. I would be really excited to see Natalie go the distance. I could see it.
So you say Natalie is the woman that is going to be able to dig the deepest this season?
Dig, woman!
Dig, Natalie! Yeah, I'm rooting for Natalie. I don't know if she's the one that I would pick. I think that Missy and Baylor seem to be in a pretty good spot.
Let's do lady power rankings.
I think for me right now, it's probably Missy, Natalie, Baylor, Jacqueline.
Missy, Natalie, Baylor, Jacqueline. I can sign off on that.
I just think Missy's like a mover and shaker.
Yeah.
She's been making some moves lately. She's been really in the forefront of the story lately. I think Natalie has proven that she's got some real smarts on her. I like the way that she talks about the game. Baylor has been a big character this season. I think that I fail to see how she would win over a jury. I feel like these people do not care for Baylor out there very much.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the sense that I'm getting. And then I think Jacqueline's just too invisible.
So you say Missy is number one. Everybody else is in the back seat.
Yeah. Get in the back seat and let me drive.
She's driving.
Drive all the way to the finish line, baby. Go for it.
Love you, bae.
Love
yeah.
you, bae. Love you, bae.
I'm still getting in trouble saying that at my house.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Nicole doesn't like it.
She doesn't like when you call her bae?
No, she
doesn't. It's what the kids are saying.
I tried.
It's
what I told her.
You're just trying to get ready for like when Dominic is, you know, cruising around calling people bae.
Yeah, just...
You need to know what the kids are saying.
Here's Dominic cruising around. Yeah.
Well, I would say that if Dominic has like a 1 point, I don't know, like 2 month year old is opening and closing car doors, it really is a sticky situation. That's scary. That's terrifying.
Okay. Let's go to Allie. And Allie is calling us from Australia. You know, Rob does have a planet and we have people from all over the world calling us. Here's Allie.
Awesome.
Hi, this is Ellie from Australia. I have two questions. My first one is, do you think it's ever okay for an individual to keep food for themselves? And secondly, do you think Keith will keep his immunity for the next tribal council? I hope that he does, because I think he won that fair and square. Thanks.
Okay, two-part question. Let's start with the hoarding food.
Okay.
Now, is it okay to hoard the food?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
I'm giving thumbs up. You know, listen, if this was last blood versus water,
yes.
we're pumping up Tyson for this.
Yes.
You know, we're thumbs up all the way on the Coconut Bandits. We
yes.
love this. This is great. We love everybody swimming out in the ocean and Tyson coming in and eating a coconut and eating papayas before he brings anything back out. We love this. This is great.
Yeah, we do. The thing is, don't get caught.
I have no problem with Julie doing something similar. I think the fallout is another story.
Yes. Did she do a bad job of just leaving it in her purse or
yes.
satchel, whatever? Should she have pulled a Nayanka and buried it?
Bury it or just like eat it all immediately?
Yes.
You know, sneak off and just eat all of that trail mix by yourself in one shot. Just blast it.
Yes. Now, she said that the joke was really on... The joke was on everybody else, Josh.
Yes.
Because in my exit interview with her, she said that the trail mix was out there in her bag with all of her dirty underwear.
Yeah.
And then they went ahead and they ate it not knowing. And the joke is on them because they just ate dirty underwear nuts.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait to tell them at the final show that they were taking handfuls of dirty underwear nuts.
Whoa.
Now, Rob, I have a question.
Tainted nuts!
Tainted nuts!
Oh, no.
Rob, can you get dirty underwear nuts if you order from Nutbox? Is that an option?
As opposed to Nature Box?
Nature Box?
Yes, that is not one of the flavors that is offered.
Nutbox is a store in New York.
And what's in Julie's box? No, you cannot get dirty underwear nuts.
Chocolate covered.
I cannot wait to tell them at the final show that they were taking handfuls of dirty underwear nuts.
Oh my god!
Yeah, handfuls.
She should market that
of dirty underwear nuts.
I could listen. That there might be a market for this.
How does John Rocker feel about dirty underwear nuts?
He has them. Every Survivor male has them. So what's the big deal?
Yeah.
What's the big deal here?
I don't know. Well, what is the big deal? Okay, so
I think these guys are so hungry, they don't care.
They don't care if they're hoarding the dirty underwear nuts.
They're probably pretty okay with eating Julie's dirty underwear nuts. I think they're pretty okay with this.
Okay. What about the second part of the question about should Keith have to sacrifice his immunity? Is that fair for Keith, for your boy?
You know, I think they're probably going to restart the cycle and they're going to take it away, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That sucks, but I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Julie really boned them all.
she really screwed everybody over. Yeah, what are you going to do? All right. Let's do one more question about Wes and Keith for you,
Wesley.
Josh. Since that's your guy, you want to hear more questions about him.
I'm a nail male.
You're nail male.
Yeah.
Okay.
Males for nails.
Here's our question. This comes to us from Cleveland. Here's Ian.
Hey, Rob. It's Ian from Cleveland. You remember those two guys, Wes and Keith? They showed them on the show periodically. So I was wondering, do you think they might be building a narrative that's sort of like the Sierra and Lauren Moret narrative between the two of them? It seems like they... is something going on there with eventually they're going to get to odds with each other. Anyway, tell me what you think. Love the show. Bye.
All right. First off, Ian throwing some shade at Wes and Keith. He's not a nail male.
Did he say West? Can't even. I guess technically you could call him West.
Did he say West?
I thought he said West.
Hey, Rob. It's Ian from Cleveland. You remember those two guys, Wes and Keith?
They said West, right?
Is West short for West?
You could probably call him Wes. I bet he hates it. You could call him Wesley.
Yeah, like Kanye?
Yeah. Kanye West nail?
Sure. All right. So what do you think? Do you think we could see a Sierra type thing happen where Wes votes out his dad?
I don't know about that. I fail to see the scenario where that makes sense for Wes.
Yeah. You would think so. That would be a tough sell, you would think.
It'd be a hard sell, I think. I don't think it's impossible.
Yeah.
I don't think that they haven't really built that relationship up in that way. I mean, I still think that you're looking at maybe Baylor turning on Missy as a possibility. But, you know, because that relationship has been really important on the show, the mother-daughter thing. But, the father-son thing has just been kind of for comedy at this point. I don't see it taking such a dark turn.
Do you think that we will see at some point Keith just tell Wes to get in the back seat?
Get in the back seat and let me drive.
Get in the back seat, Wesley. Let me drive.
I'm driving, Wesley. West.
Roll down the window. Yeah. Roll down the window. Get in the back seat. Let me drive.
Maybe. I can see that. I feel like Wes is going to ride shotgun.
Yeah.
Wes doesn't ride back.
You know who's not riding shotgun is Missy and Baylor.
I could care less about Missy. Baylor.
Oh,
yeah.
Spit in my eye. Okay. Damn it, Keith.
All right. One more voicemail question for you, Josh Wiggler. Okay. Let's go ahead and here's the one I want to give. Our last voicemail is going to be from Kayla.
Hi, Rob and Josh. This is Kayla from Canada. So I guess my question for episode 6 is that I wonder if you guys think that this whole Missy Baylor and to a lesser extent Baylor Josh situation has not quite yet resolved. I just got the feeling from the episode, there's something very foreboding about it, and I can't put my finger on it, but I feel like of the two, Baylor's the more important character, just in terms of overall throughout the season. And Missy's sort of glee at being able to control her daughter was off-putting to me, and I don't think it's good for Baylor's storyline. I feel like Baylor wanted to go with Josh, and she also makes it clear that she wants her game to be respected. And I don't think that she can accomplish that being completely submissive to her mother. So I wonder if you think Missy's going to, or Baylor's going to take a turn on Missy, or this thing is going to blow up. I don't know. I just got the feeling that something about this storyline is not done yet. Just wanted to know what you guys think. Take care.
All right, Josh, I want to get your take on the Missy Baylor Josh situation. Missy Baylor Josh situation.
Missy Baylor Josh situation.
Yeah.
Missy Baylor Josh situation.
Oh, feeling it.
Yeah.
I don't see the three of them going to a Dairy Queen together anytime soon, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I don't see that in their future.
All right, so what do you think? I mean, I agree with what Kayla is saying, but it seemed like it was resolved. Like, it was, you know, Josh came to Baylor and said, hey, you owe me, we should work together. And then Baylor went to her mom and was like, Mom, I feel bad because we want to make an alliance with him. And of course,
and Miss said, shut up, I'm driving.
Shut up, get in the back seat.
Get in the back seat and let me drive.
Let me drive.
I'm driving here.
Get in the back seat. And then Baylor, of course, she did.
Yeah. She just got out of the car. She was driving. Missy was driving.
And now
Baylor, no.
She got out of the car. And now
like a tuck and roll?
I mean, but here's what I didn't see though. I didn't see Baylor is like, oh, you know, playing with my mom is so frustrating. It's like this all the time. And my mom's always telling me what to do. She's like, yeah, you're right, Mom. I should just listen to you. I'm being crazy.
She's in.
Yeah.
So here's what I could see. Let's say Josh wins out in this power struggle. Jeremy's gone. Now Missy and Baylor are really in a sticky situation.
Undoubtedly. One of the stickiest.
One of the stickiest. Situation. Oh, sing it, girl. It's very sticky. And at that point, is that a moment where Baylor, to save her own hide, turns on her mom? But that's really the only situation that I can see that happening.
Hmm.
You know, I think that the Missy Baylor alliance with Jeremy, whoever goes from that group, they need to now be down in the numbers. And I think that's the only way that Baylor's hopping away from Missy at this point. I mean, if Missy, Baylor, Jeremy, if they win out, if Josh goes home and now they're in control, I think Baylor's riding with Missy all the way.
But do you see the storyline ending with Missy getting screwed over by Baylor? It feels like to me the way that the story has gone is that the prophecy is like that it's going to be Baylor that screws over Josh.
I mean, that seems to be what is being set up.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see that if Josh is in the power spot, I could see Baylor turning on her mom to save herself because she does have that relationship with Josh.
Okay. So
I think either way, though, the problem is I think that Baylor's going to have this perception problem no matter what she does. Like, let's say she defects on Missy and goes with Josh. I think that's going to be seen as a power move on Josh rather than a power move on Baylor. I don't think that people are going to respect that move from Baylor. And if Baylor's sticking with Missy all the way, she's just going to look like mommy's girl the whole way, and she's in trouble there. So I think that no matter what, Baylor's going to look like second fiddle at best, no matter what she does here.
It's a tough spot.
Tough spot.
All right. And now, this isn't a voicemail question, but, you know, you guys call this stuff in. I'm going to play it. Take it away, Austin Thind.
All right. We got the famous two balls on a disc immunity challenge. Let's get to the Jeff Probst inappropriate covets of the week. Yahoo!
Yahoo! Let's do it.
People are just calling in transitions.
Yeah. All aboard. Yeah. Everybody in the car with Missy. Right. Let's go.
We got the famous two balls on a disc immunity challenge. Let's get to the Jeff Probst inappropriate covets of the week. Yahoo!
Yahoo! Let's go.
Now, here's my thing, Josh. Much like Austin, I think we all had the same reaction last night, where we got balls, we've got a disc, but I was a little underwhelmed with the actual content of the challenge.
It was not his best.
Yeah. In fact, you know, I think you're going to be underwhelmed. I just pulled one clip that was from that challenge. Here's Jeff during the immunity challenge.
All right, everybody now has two balls on their disc.
All right, everybody has two balls.
That's it?
Yeah, that's
all
that's
right. Everybody now has two balls on their disc.
I watched this like three times.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there was nothing like, all right, watch out now. Well, you know, Keith's adjusting his two balls right now. You know, there was not much there.
Yeah. Oh, that's so disappointing. I was really looking forward to this, Rob.
Yeah, there was no like, boy, Missy looks like she sure knows how to handle balls. Like, you know, there was not. Look, it's
all right. Everybody now has two balls on their disc.
Two balls on the disc. That's it. I'm sorry.
Wow. Yahoo.
I'm sorry. There was a couple other quotes from the episode last night, which I did really enjoy. Of course, this was one early on in the episode that a lot of people were tweeting about. This was when John and Jacqueline found out about the merge.
Nobody wants to date somebody that doesn't make it to the merge. We can still date each other.
So people killed it because we talked about it so much.
Yes.
Last season, people were like, stop talking about that. But the survivors are talking about it. We have to talk about it.
Well, that's because like Blood versus Water is one of two seasons that these people saw.
Yes.
They watched the first Blood versus Water. They watched Kageyan.
Yes. So
that's all they know.
So John and Jacqueline can still date. Are there any couples that can't date anymore?
Well, Julie made the merge, but Rocker did not.
Oh.
And
nobody wants to date somebody that doesn't make it to the merge.
Yeah.
And, you know, Val and Jeremy are married. They're not dating anymore, but now they can't go out on dates anymore.
Now they can't go out on. So Jeremy's the big winner in that scenario.
Oh, wow.
No, I mean, who wants to go on dates?
You don't like to go on dates with Nicole?
No, I mean, not really. I mean,
wow.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, I guess so.
Honeymoon stage.
Depends what we're doing. Depends on what the date is.
Honeymoon stage just got in the date car is. And drove away.
Yeah. I mean, so.
Love you, bae.
Love you, bae. In case Nicole's listening to this.
Yeah. Okay. She's not. Okay. Then there was another quote which I really laughed about because last week. Yeah.
Is Drew Christie undateable now?
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
That's blowing my mind.
Yes.
Don't people just come up to him?
They do come up to him, but
not anymore. Is that why he was depressed when he talked to you on the phone?
I think so. It doesn't happen anymore. Now they're all going to date Alec.
Oh my God. And he's a meat collector, so that might work out well for him.
Yeah.
I'm a meat collector.
Meat collector. Yeah. Is that a good pickup line?
If you're gay, I think. I don't know if it's
Can
a great...
you just like walk up to someone and say, I'm a meat collector?
Again, I'm not sure if that works
which
with
line,
women.
Which line works better as just like a cold call hit, you know, pickup line? Basically, I'm a badass or a meat collector?
Basically, I'm a badass, I think it's the far superior pickup line.
So, basically, I'm a badass.
With women, I would think.
Women.
You know? I mean, actually, the badass thing is probably like gender neutral. I think you could say that to, if you're a guy, say that to men or women. But I think
I think you could say the meat collector thing to a woman. She just might think that you're like Dexter.
Yeah, a serial killer.
You're like the ice truck killer.
Yeah, I would.
You're like the Trinity Killer, and you're just like, you're collecting bodies.
Yeah, I would probably tone that down if I would. Yeah. Okay. So then there was a one moment that I thought was really funny, because last week on the show, and I don't have this clip, when Dale got voted off, John turned to Jacqueline and was like, "You are so beautiful right now."
Yes.
Okay. So I was like, "Hey, that's weird." But then I thought this was even stranger when Jeff takes the immunity idol and then reveals the immunity necklace for the season. Okay. Here's Jeff revealing it and then John's reaction to the immunity necklace.
This is what you covet.
Oh.
So beautiful.
John's just like chronically attracted to stuff.
Yeah, he's like Roberto Benigni. That is just like, oh, it's so beautiful.
Oh my God, it's so beautiful. Yeah.
The immunity necklace. This is so beautiful.
I love you.
Yeah, it wasn't even that. I didn't think it was even that fine, the immunity necklace.
It was fine.
It was fine, nothing, but it wasn't special. It wasn't nothing fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't beautiful, I didn't think.
I mean, I wasn't like,
love you, bae.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
It was like, it was all right. Yeah, I didn't love the immunity necklace. It was just fine for me. I wouldn't even say that I covet it, you know. It was just,
this is what you covet.
Oh,
so beautiful.
Oh my God. So beautiful.
John just he just loves stuff. He's
loves to eat. Loves.
He's got an open heart. Yeah,
open heart. And the way to his heart is through his stomach, I guess.
Yeah, apparently.
Yes. You would think if it was like a candy necklace, then that would be what John really covets.
This is what you covet.
Oh,
so beautiful.
So beautiful. Yes. Okay. Let's get into talking about some of the stuff from social media. Active night for everybody. First, let me give you some news here, Josh. We finally can tell you we have a finale night, and for these shows that are coming up here that we're covering here on Robin's Podcast, the Survivor finale will be Wednesday, December 17th. So the Survivor finale remains on Wednesday. It was on Wednesday last season. I think they thought it was a success. So look for the Survivor finale Wednesday, the 17th.
Do you like that on a Wednesday?
Yeah, I'm not mad at it.
Doesn't make a difference to you.
Doesn't make a big difference for me. I think maybe it feels a little bit more special on the Sunday, but I never like that it's such a quick turnaround for me for the podcast. Like, I feel like the podcast that's right before the finale, it's a disservice to that podcast.
Sure.
And
sure,
like
sure.
Last season, I think we had Cochran on the one before the finale, and I feel like, you know, there's a lot to talk about, and that sort of just like gets like lost in the shuffle, that podcast right before the finale. So I like having a week.
I think it stinks for fans who like to come out for the finale weekends.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people who do travel out to you know, L.A. or, you know, rarely when it's in New York these days, you know, mostly L.A. But there's people who will travel out specifically for finale weekend. And I think that's kind of a bummer.
How do people travel out for the finale? Some people take a plane.
Muffin's car.
Some people drive with Muffin. Yeah.
Yeah. Get in the backseat and let me drive.
Straight on till morning to the Survivor finale.
We're going.
Yeah.
We're going. Okay. So that's going to be the 17th. And then the Amazing Race finale going to be the same week. Typically, the Amazing Race wraps up before Survivor. This season, it will not. December 19th for the Amazing Race finale. So that'll be a busy, busy week for yours truly.
Nice.
Might not have time to go Christmas shopping.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Might have to just go up to Canada, do all my shopping on Amazon.ca.
Stop. You did that already. Enough.
All right. This is interesting too, Josh. We've got spring premiere dates. Of course, Survivor 30 coming up. It's the 30th season. Everybody's very excited. Late premiere for Survivor. It was later last season, and we're going to do that again. February 25th will be the 90-minute premiere of Survivor 30, and I believe also a 90-minute premiere of Amazing Race 26.
Yeah, the same night, right?
Same night. So that's going to be a busy night.
That's crazy.
I think what we'll probably do there is since they're both premieres, I think what I'll probably end up doing there is do Survivor Know-It-Alls live after Survivor, and then maybe the next night do Amazing Race premiere, or maybe we'll do Amazing Race premiere still on Friday night and keep it in its regular time slot.
Gotta have Know-It-Alls right after.
Gotta have it.
Season 30. Season 30.
Season
Survivor.
30.
You gotta go full tilt.
Everybody's pumped up for Survivor 30, Josh.
Can you believe we're there?
Can you believe? I can't believe it.
That's pretty crazy. I have a lot of people in my life who are not Survivor people, and they know that I'm really into the show.
Yeah.
They're like, what season are they up to now? Like, they're getting it on 30. And then people are always like, it's been on for 30 years?
Yes. Yes. The premiere of Survivor, of course, was in 1984.
Yes.
It was a great year.
It was a very good year. Yeah. It was a great year.
It was very, very exciting. And fantastic.
I don't know. Yeah. What are you doing to celebrate, Rob?
I think we're going to have some big plans for Rob as a podcast for Survivor 30. February is going to be a big month. Of course, Survivor 30 kicks off. It'll be the 5-year anniversary of Rob as a podcast.
Oh,
and,
man.
Josh and I are working on something special for you guys for Survivor 30.
Oh my God. Are you just going to say that?
Yeah, I'm going to say we're working on something. Oh, what am I saying?
I don't know.
What am I saying?
I don't know. Get in the car quick before they catch on.
Yeah.
Missy, drive.
Get in the back seat and let me drive.
Yeah. Do it. Drive faster. Drive faster before they find out.
All right.
Yeah, look, there's an iron in the fire.
Love you, bae.
Yes. Yes.
Small iron in the fire.
Small iron. Okay. Some big Survivor birthdays this week.
Who's up?
All right. Francesca's birthday this week. Francesca on the 3rd, Jay Byers, his birthday was Wednesday. Also Dan Lembo. Did you know Jay Byers and Dan Lembo share a birthday?
Do we have to wish Dan Lembo a birthday? Is that mandatory?
Look, I got so many twits on my birthday that, do I have to be here? Do I have to have a birthday?
Your Dan Lembo sounds like Unser from Sons of Anarchy.
Sure. They're probably the same guy.
So, Jem, you're going to vote me out?
Yes, listen. I got friends. I got plenty of friends. Yeah. All right, two survivors, Josh, share a birthday today.
Who's that?
One of them I hear you do a pretty good impression of.
Oh, God. Who's that?
From Survivor Pearl Islands, Krista Hasty. It's her birthday today.
Really? I can't believe it.
Yes.
I didn't even know. How old am I?
Krista Hasty is 36.
Oh my God. I thought I was like 29.
No. And another survivor also shares a birthday today. From Survivor Palau, Jolanda Jones's birthday is today.
Jolanda. Jolanda got hosed.
Yeah.
Poor Jolanda.
She did. It's her birthday as well. One other survivor birthday
when
coming.
When is it Wanda's birthday?
No, Wanda, I don't know. Not this week. Not this week. And then also.
Is she singing Jolanda? Did she come up with a song for Jolanda?
Do we have a birthday here? Yes, we have a birthday here. It's Jolanda. Okay. Also, Scout Cloud Lee turns the big 7-0 this weekend.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yes. So it will be a big party for Scout, wherever she is. Surely.
That's great.
Surely. Okay. Let's go ahead and let's talk about what the survivors are saying on social media. Okay. So we have a quitter. So you know where we have to go first. We have to begin our coverage at twitter.com/eOrleans.
Oh, man. All right. Let's hear it.
All right. She's going to start off by saying hoarding trail mix and hoarding buffs and threatening to quit. Taters McGee has got to go. And she didn't say taters and she didn't say quits. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's. Eliza's going to start to get into some all caps in her tweets. Also.
Okay. She's getting fired up.
Yes. Okay. She said. Okay. In rewatching the trail mix scene, I'm less offended by her having a few handfuls of nuts than I was at first. Everyone had their own stuff. Okay. So. That was after further review, but in the heat of the moment, she said. What a pathetic loser. It's so sad that a terrible couple was cast and took the spots of people who could have been great on Survivor. How about that?
Yeah, a lot of people saying that. Do you have Vetus on the list?
Well, Vetus, he couldn't have been on the season because it was not an alumni season.
No, I mean, do you have Vetus's tweet about this on the list?
Oh, no, but I'll pull it up.
Yeah, Vetus had some harsh words about this.
Okay, good. So I pushed him back into tweeting about the episode.
You did. Well, it was a morning after tweet.
Okay, morning after. Okay,
as he's wont to do. I believe Vetus said it was a disgrace to the game.
Oh my God! All right,
yeah, well, really heavy.
All right, let me finish with Eliza. We'll go to Vetus. She tweets all caps. There is not enough time for tribal. We have a quitter, people.
Spoilers.
Also, this is a pretty good one. Oh, all caps, period. My all caps, period. God, period. Watching this quit scene again, quote, people don't like me because I put myself together and I have boobs, end quote. Wow. No self-awareness. Eliza, shooting rockets from Twitter.
I don't think people dislike Julie because she has boobs.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why people like her.
Come on, Eliza.
Yeah. I'm sure that's probably high on the list of reasons why John Rocker likes her. I'm sure. I mean, she seems like she's fun, you know? I mean, would I want my Survivor life to depend on her? No, but yeah. I mean, outside the game, I'm sure she's perfectly lovely person.
Cool. Seems cool.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Here's Vetus. He says, quitting is so disrespectful to the game.
Yes.
Give someone else the opportunity to play instead of embarrassing yourself.
Wow. See, that's harsh.
Yes.
Vetus is so intense.
Yeah. Also, Vetus had a good point. I thought of this myself. What a touching heart-to-heart with Probst. If I ever get to play again, I'm going to threaten quitting just to get some one-on-one time with Jeff. So, yeah, this is a good plan. Here's what I'm going to do if I go back on Survivor. Okay. I'm going to tell the producers, you know what? I'm going to quit. I can't take it anymore. I hardly got to eat anything.
I'm lonely.
That's it. I'm quitting. And then, all right, here comes Jeff Probst, comes out to the beach. All right, Rob. Hey, Jeff, you know, I miss my wife. Like, he's going to be like, tell me about this relationship between you and your wife. Well, you know, we met back in 2003, and then I'll tell the whole story. And Jeff's like, all right, well, Rob, I mean, is this what you want to do? I'm like, you know what, Jeff? I think you talked me into it.
Can you keep trying to talk me out of it?
Game on! I'm back, baby!
I have more stuff to talk to you about, Jeff.
Yeah.
You have a few more minutes?
Yeah, and everybody will be like, oh my God, we thought you were quitting. No, I'm back.
You know, Jeff's a really good guy.
Yes.
You should just try and talk to him.
Jeff saved me.
It's a good plan.
I'm saying I'd be voted out that night, but I was probably voted out that night anyway. I'll quit on the first day.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back.
Oh, you just won Survivor That's So Craven.
Yes. Yes. Oh my God. That's Survivor That's So Craven. I'm back. I'm the winner. Yeah. Okay.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you, Rob.
I did it.
You did it.
I did it. Okay. Let's go to Sophie G. Clark, who was also worked up. She said, is this the worst, most pathetic quit ever? Parentheses. The answer is yes. She answered her own question.
Do you agree with that, Rob?
Is this the worst, most pathetic quitter ever? You know, this is pretty bad. I think Colton in Blood Versus Water, the original one, was pretty bad. Like he quit because he was going to get voted out. This, I say, maybe
is
worse.
Is Nayanka not worse?
But, you know, the Nayanka thing was like, you know, they had at least a hard season. You know, she had been beaten down for like, you know, 30 days. You know, it had been raining for days on days. So, you know,
she was so much closer and Nayanka was going to the top.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she was probably going to, you know, come in second and get no votes and whatever. So that was bad. But, you know, that was at least she had like she had been through a lot. I don't know what Julie had been through.
I have to consider it. Nayanka's still my number one, I think, but I don't know. I'll go and revisit Nicaragua.
Yeah, maybe. I think the Colton thing could even be worse though because it hadn't even rained. At least it rained one time on Julie.
Right.
Like blood. The original Blood Versus Water. Even Vetus said that was like the easiest season they ever did.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah. Okay. Here's Sophie. She said they should have tried to trade Julie to Jeff for more food.
Wow.
Yeah, you think they should at least try it?
Yeah, I'm surprised Reed didn't propose that.
Yeah, why not? Like, Jeff, okay, this one you might not like
this. I have a proposal for you.
It's kind of crazy. Just tell me to stop if you don't like what I'm saying. But would you give us Julie and maybe give us some more rice? Maybe, yeah, whatever. It's not a big deal if you don't want it. Maybe. So, what do you think? Like, are you done here?
I'm feeling it. Like, I'm into it.
My life is fine. My life is fine. I don't need Julie.
Just got finer.
I don't need Julie. Okay. Spencer Bledsoe said, if I ever play Survivor again, I'm going to throw a challenge, then quit, just to see at E. Orleans burn Twitter to the ground.
That's a good plan. Wow, that's a real Joker move.
Yeah, that would be, he would quit Survivor just to watch Twitter burn.
The true agent of chaos.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Wow, is Spencer the Joker of Survivor if Jatia is the Batman?
Yeah. Potentially. I tweeted last night to Jatia. I said, oh, good luck defending this one, because I tweet at Jatia, everywhere her Twitter name is,
poking the bear,
and I said, hey, you get ready, because I'm coming for this one. And she said I think she kind of was like, there's nothing I can do. Yeah, she had nothing
when,
for this one.
When the person who spilled all of the rice can't defend you.
Yeah. She had nothing for them.
The sworn defender of the defenseless on Twitter.
Yes.
Cannot defend you.
She could not defend them.
Oh, that's bad.
Okay. Let's go ahead and are you ready for some Lisi tweets?
I don't know if I'm ever going to be ready for it, but
Why not?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, all right. Lisi said, no mom is proud of being divorced 1, 2, 3 times. LOL. Mighties. That's tragic
tidy
and funny.
Tidy whitey's little boy.
Yeah.
The tidy whitey's the dirty underwear nuts? I don't know
what kind of underwear Julie wears.
Probably not tidy whitey.
Probably not. She said, for today's challenge, you will balance a ball on Jeff's head and then kick him repeatedly in the face till he poops. She used a not so nice word for poop.
S-word?
Yeah. And then she said, finally, oh no, I'm the too beautiful to relate to BS. So pathetic. Would she feel like this if she didn't have those fake taters, lips, and lipo?
Wow. Harsh. Harsh.
Yeah, those weren't even funny. Those were just me angry.
Wow.
I'm angry.
Lisi's really, she's gone down a dark path.
Yeah, she's getting pissed. She's getting pissed off. Okay. So how about Corinne?
Oh, I'm afraid for this one.
Yeah, Corinne, again.
Earmuffs, people.
She said, I'm not watching, but Twitter tells me someone quit. All caps. Are you effing kidding? I'd give anything for one more day. No respect.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't know that Corinne was that into the respect of the game. Like, that did not strike me as she was one of those people.
I didn't realize she would give anything for one more day in Survivor.
Yeah. I didn't know she cared that much.
Although, I guess one more day in Survivor, she would have been on stage at Carolina.
Yeah, I guess so.
That counts.
All right. Here's Bryce Isaiah. He's got one. Julie, yeah. Now you know you can't trust Missy, aka Muffin. You better ask husband 1, 2, and 3.
Wow.
A lot of the survivors going after Missy, aka Muffin's husband.
I got a feeling that Missy's probably more upset about like all of the divorce jokes than being called Muffin. Just a hunch.
What does Muffin think though?
Like, who's Muffin?
Yeah. Who is Muffin?
You think she's more upset about that?
I would be.
Yeah.
Call me Muffin all day.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she's like, you know, like the Elizabeth Taylor of Survivor. She has like all these like husband jokes.
Is Muffin the Elizabeth Taylor of Survivor?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Is that right?
Liz Taylor of Survivor.
I praise.
Okay.
I praise.
let's see. So let's go to some of the tweets from RHAP from Rob as a Planet. Haymaker Hattie, the great Jessica Lease, she tweets, Julie and I are opposites. I find things unbearable when John Rocker is around.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
I thought John Rocker redeemed himself. Are we not buying that?
It was not a it was a redemption story for John Rocker.
And like I feel like everyone likes John Rocker, right? Didn't he do well in the exit press?
I don't know. Was that it? Was redemption in the exit press?
I think so. It's the metagame.
Okay. Haley Strong at H Strong tweeted, I don't know. The last Broadway star I saw play a strategy game was definitely trustworthy. Hashtag social media mogul. That's probably like right over your head.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
The Big Brother joke.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry. Owen,
if it's not Survivor or Lost, I probably don't know.
Owen Craig has a good observation. At Owen K. Craig tweeted, so Keith wants to leave people high and dry. Jeremy wants to surround and drown. Clearly, these two people can't work together.
Yeah. Yeah. They're complete opposites.
Jeremy, I like to talk like Jeremy.
Yeah, he's always... talk to me in Jeremy voice right now.
Like, he's like, well, that's easy because your name is Josh.
I gotta get rid of Josh. What is he thinking?
Yeah.
What is he talking about?
John and Josh.
These people.
These people are so dumb.
Once we get rid of Josh, it's over. I've heard that before.
I thought I'd be good in the challenges, but I'm not.
Really happy right now, but you wouldn't know by the tone of my voice.
Yeah. I have a tweet here from you. Now, what is this tweet that you're talking about? This I know this much is true.
It's a musical number.
Yes. Yes.
Have you seen The Wedding Singer?
Yes, I have seen that. What were you tweeting here?
I don't even know where to.
What was this?
Yes.
What were you going for here?
It's the end of The Wedding Singer.
Can you tell me what you were tweeting? Are you gonna say it?
You're not at the right part. It's like the end of the song.
So you need like the chorus? Yes.
Let me send it to you. Let me get you there.
Here.
Much.
This is for Rocker and Julie?
Yeah. You have to get to the end of it, though.
Right.
Rocker and Julia.
Rocker and Julia?
Yes. Like Robbie and Julia from Wedding Singer. Happy ending.
Yeah. All right. Let's see.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good joke for like five people who got it.
Even the five people who got it. I don't know if I'm in the five. In the top five.
Go revisit The Wedding Singer. Watch the end of the movie. Read my tweet. You'll like it.
Yes. We're so far at the end of the show. Anybody who's not a real fan is already stopped listening. So I have one more. I have one more like really nerdy question for you, Josh, that came in on the voicemail.
All right, let's hear it.
Hi, Rob and Josh. This is Jeremiah calling from Texas. So, Josh, you've made it known on the Lost Woods podcast that you're a huge fan of season 6. With that in mind, here's what I want to know. Is it fair to compare Julie quitting after all the hype surrounding the Jeremy Josh Rod movie to the airing of Across the Sea right after the event of The Candidate in which we lost Sun, Jin, and Saeed? Josh, I'm a big fan of what you do over at Lost Lives, and thank you both for the time.
Now, Josh, you are a big fan of Survivor 6? Survivor the Amazon?
I love Survivor the Amazon.
Yes!
Yeah. Classic season. That one guy got hosed, though.
So,
I think his name was Mateo.
Mateo, yeah.
Yeah, Mateo got screwed.
So this question from Jeremiah, would you compare the departure of Julie and all the hype surrounding the Josh and Jeremy rivalry to the airing of the Lost episode Across the Sea?
No, I wouldn't. I might say, if I could make a Lost comparison, that I think getting, I think San Juan del Dur is a disappointing follow-up to Cagayan, which was like one of the best seasons of Survivor we'd had in a while. And season 6 of Lost was a disappointing follow-up to season 5 of Lost, which is one of the best seasons of Lost.
Would you compare Julie's departure?
I'm saying that as I'm pushing my glasses up my nose.
Would you compare Julie's departure from Survivor to Mr. Echo being
yeah,
written out of the show?
Off? Yeah. Yeah, that was bullshit. That really was.
Is it true Mr. Echo was hiding trail mix in his dirty underwear nuts?
Yeah. No, he was hiding it in Virgin Mary yes. statues.
That's where he hid all the trail mix.
Yeah.
All right. You can catch Josh Wiggler. In addition to all the shows he's doing on post-show recaps, how many different shows are you talking about on post-show recaps right
man,
now?
I don't know. We're doing Walking Dead right now. We're doing Sons of Anarchy. There's the occasional Lost Lives podcast. We've got a Game of Thrones book club on the books for next Wednesday, whatever the date on that is. I think November 12th. There's a lot going on, and there's more in development.
Okay. Well, very, very, very exciting. Of course, you can catch all of Josh Wiggler's stuff and also get his exit interviews on Parade Magazine by following him on Twitter. He is at Round Howard.
Yes. Like,
how does that go again?
I don't want to say it.
it's like Ron Howard, but more like a triangle.
No, it's like a. There's no edges.
It's like a. It's like an octagon, Howard. Right? It's like it's a Ron Howard with an octagon,
circular Howard.
All right. Yeah. I feel like is there anything else that we wanted to cover?
No. Thanks for having me on, Rob. This was ridiculous.
As always. All right.
Keep
your ears peeled for some more news on what Josh Wiggler and I are working on about Survivor 30.
Don't say anything else.
Working on something.
We're not ready.
Working on something. All right. So, Josh, thank you so much. Take care and love you, bae.
Love you, bae.
Love you, bae.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Josh Wiggler back here on the podcast. Always fun to get to talk to Josh and always fun to listen to your voicemails and do all the social media. Really, really one of the highlights of the week. Okay, so we're starting to wrap things up. I realized that I did not give a hashtag during that conversation with Josh or really with Parvati. So here's what I think I want to do. I'm going to sort of split test this. So if you want to leave a hashtag and let Parvati know you heard the first part of the podcast and like that part the best, you can use the hashtag Pincher and go ahead and tweet to myself and Parvati and John Fincher if you'd like. So that's Pincher for the first half of the podcast, or for the second half with Josh Wiggler, let's go with Quits McGee. For the hashtag with Josh Wiggler. So you got two options. You want to do Parvati? You want to tweet to Parvati? You want to tweet to Josh Wiggler? Whatever you want to do, it's Pincher for Parvati and Quits McGee for Wiggler. All right. We've got so much stuff coming up in the next couple of days. Of course, we'll get back into it with The Amazing Race on Friday night. Then this weekend, Josh and I will cover The Walking Dead over on Post Show Recaps, episode 5 of season 5 coming up on Sunday night. Of course, Josh and I also are covering Sons of Anarchy, the final season, over on postshowrecaps.com. So you can check out those shows if you've been a Sons fan. Only 4 episodes left of that show. Plus, we're going to get back into it where I still want to talk to Kurt Clark about the cancellation of Utopia. It looks like it won't be a brand new start. I'm still looking to do a cast assessment of the Celebrity Apprentice coming up. So we have a lot to do. And then next week, of course, we'll get back into it with the Survivor. I can't believe that it's November 6th already. I don't know where the time goes by, but very, very fun stuff coming up. All over the place on these podcasts. Thanks so much to everybody who's become a patron also in the last week. Really do appreciate that support. If you want to find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron, you can go anytime to robhasawebsite.com/patron. All right. So there is a lot to do to get this podcast out. So very excited for you guys to have heard it and really love to hear from you guys in the comments on for those Fridays. I'm just like refreshing Twitter and all of the websites, and you know, I just like it's so much fun for me to do the show. But then, like, when you guys listen to the show, it's really, really cool to, you know, what are the little things that you guys picked up on and what are the things that stood out and that you guys liked. So I really do check those comments a lot. The day after the show goes up, I'm really like looking at it all the time. You know, I don't do a great job of commenting on the comments. I do a better job on Twitter of commenting back to stuff, but I read everything. I read all those comments that you guys say. And most of you guys are pretty nice on there. Some, not everybody, but most of you guys. Anyway, so have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks so much for making it to the end of this very long podcast, and I will talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.